WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. The following is a WGIL sports presentation. Silver Streaks football. Galesburg High School Silver Streaks football on WGIL kicks off with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center pregame show. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Cuts back to the middle, inside the 10-yard line, to the goal line, and a touchdown. Trying to get past a man, Jukes left, Jukes right, and he's in for the touchdown. And he breaks through the tackle at the 30. Cuts back to the middle of the field at the 20, to the 10. He's free for the touchdown.
And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee with Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate Habitat for Humanity of Knox County, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by James Eklund. Congratulations from WGIL.
Undefeated in the Western Big Six Conference, Silver Streaks and the undefeated overall Alleman Pioneers are underway from Van Dyke Field. And Jim, you know, I feel like a broken record saying this, but boy, just wonderful weather conditions tonight.
Yeah, you've got the best view on the house of that harvest moon over there, don't you?
Sure do. It's beautiful coming up there. It's just the yellow is just starting to fade out of it, but oh, just the ideal night for high school football. Now, how about Trayvon Diggins splitting out wide to the near side, the Alleman side of the field, as the Streaks show a different look on offense on the first play with a single setback, and Steck runs left and picks up a couple on first down.
Yeah, Andrew slipped there, might have had an opening for a few more yards, but tried to make that cut. And I don't know, I'm looking at the grass down here. There might be a, there is a little bit of a dew on it from the rains that we got late this week. So first time this year we've really had to deal with that.
Sophomores lost tonight for the Silver Streaks, their first defeat of the season, 26-8. Was the final score as we face 2nd and 8 coming up here. Just underway on a terrific night from Van Dyke Field. Back to pass, Steck rolling to the near side, throws off his back foot and nearly picked off in the defensive secondary as Trayvon Diggins was the intended receiver, and he Steck off his back foot overthrew him, and it went off Justin Quintana's hands.
Shows you the strength of Andrew's arm, though, to be able to throw that ball on a line the way he did, throwing off his back foot, as you pointed out. Alleman, you know they're going to be well-drilled. They're always tough against the run. You know they're going to be looking past a little bit more because the Silver Streaks have shown that they can do that. And the Pioneers, the respect for them just down the line and the way they run their program. They don't have a ton of kids out there. Sophomores only had about 6 or 8 on the bench, but they made short work of us in the sophomore game.
Andrew Steck in the shotgun now. Good snap to him. Now on the draw play, steps up into the pocket. Close to the first down, wrapped up from behind, but I think he falls forward across the first down marker, short of the 40-yard line, and the Streaks will move the chains on a big third down conversion.
Sure was, and that was quite a bit of room to run there for Steck, and that's one thing against Alleman. You're not going to get a whole lot of big openings, or especially in the passing game we talked about. Last week we found some guys wide open. Pretty unlikely you're going to get a whole lot of room to make mistakes. So, as both the coaches told us, Olson and Hickey, the Silver Streaks can ill afford to make turnovers and need to create a few of their own tonight.
From the Silver Streaks 39-yard line on the opening drive of the game, Diggins in motion, handoff goes to the left side, and Alleman was through the Streaks offensive line before Steck could even hand off the ball, so that'll go as a loss on first down.
Patrick Ewald leading the charge on the tackle, the 6'2", 170-pound defensive end there, had a little help, and Alleman to a man is a good tackler. You don't play in Dave DeJager's program if you're an arm tackler. In fact, they got the one fella, Carruthers, out here playing with a cast on his right arm, and he's having to learn how to play with that.
So the Streaks do line up in the triple option. As the toss goes to Diggins coming around from the right side, he escapes a tackle in the backfield, gets back to the original line of scrimmage, and then he's stopped there and then driven backwards. So Diggins gets a couple, but it'll be 3rd and 10 coming up as Alleman, as always, very strong defensively and very sure hands as well.
I hope they'll show the film of that one again because Trayvon Diggins punished. Kevin McGinnis came up there to make the tackle, and Diggins flattened him. He just lowered his shoulder and ran over him. McGinnis had some help to make the tackle, though, but a tough run by Trayvon.
2.5 minutes gone on the first quarter. Streaks on the opening drive, facing third and 10 from their own 39. Back to pass. Steck lofts it downfield. Underthrows Mines a little bit, and then it goes off his hands as he's knocked out of bounds short of the Alleman 30-yard line. Good defense in the secondary for the Pioneers for Justin Quintana, and the Streaks will head into punt formation.
I got to think maybe Andrew got a little more air under that pass than he wanted to, Brad. He got a lot of arch on that ball and gives the defense time to recover.
You know, coming into this game, Andrew Steck had only, I think it was three incomplete passes all season. And he's 0 for 2 passing on the opening drive. And now the Streaks will give it up on a punt. And a good right-footed boot taken just across the 30-yard line, and McGinnis escapes a tackle, and then he's taken down just short of the 35-yard line. So just when it looked like Kevin McGinnis might break free a little bit, Streaks cover up on special teams, and the Alleman Pioneers will take over at 9:18 to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, the good sure tackle of Drew Carlson. Carlson's type of kid that you can envision playing in the Alleman program because he is a sure tackler. He's all over the place and plays really bigger than his size is.
First down for the Pioneers, our first chance to set the offense for you. As Coach Wes Olson and assistant coach Sean Hickey both indicated in the pregame, very similar style of offense for the Alleman Pioneers, and the handoff goes to the right side on first down. They pick up a couple, and it'll be second and 7 upcoming.
And I asked the defensive coordinator, Sean Hickey, at least on his side of the ball, how big a loss was it to not have Austin Finley in there. Finley, of course, a big, strong kid on the line, but he said in putting Tyler Ennis in, it's kind of a trade that Ennis gives you more speed coming off of that defensive end spot, and he played a great game last week.
In motion to the near side, the quarterback Bolin hands off up the middle, gain of a couple of more for the Pioneers. Stop short of the 45-yard line as we are just underway in the first quarter. Second game of the Western Big Six Conference season. Both the Pioneers and the Silver Streaks at 1-0 on the season. As we have played 3.5 minutes of this first quarter with no score so far. It'll be 3rd and 2 coming up for the Pioneers.
You know, on week number 2 against Rich East, Alleman allowed only one first down in that whole game, but still only 10-7. Last week, Quincy put up 300 yards in that game. I was a little surprised that they moved the ball. They just didn't score much.
In motion, Kevin Wetherill. To the right side goes the play, and it looks like the Streaks may have stopped this one just short of the first down marker. This one is going to depend on the spot as the handoff goes to Mendoza again, and they don't even have to spot it. They go ahead and move the chain. So he got just enough. Forward progress apparently gave him the first down, and now the Pioneers have a new set of downs at the 47.
Mendoza had been injured a little bit in the early weeks of the season. Back in there tonight, Quintana, their leading rusher, not a big kid, only about 145 pounds, but Mendoza, more rugged, goes closer to 170.
Yeah, Quintana had 3 touchdowns in the opening week win for the Pioneers. Now Bolin back to pass on first down. Good swing pass to the near side, and it's caught and into Streaks territory. After the reception goes Kevin Wetherill, and he's down close to the 35-yard line before the Streak can finally bring him down. D. George, Chaz Benton over there. But a big gain on the first down pass play, the swing pass across the middle, and a nice throw from the quarterback Bolin right into the midsection of Wetherill, who takes it to the Galesburg 35.
Yeah, perfect throw by Bolin that makes that play when you can lead him to where he doesn't have to break stride, and he put that ball softly out there, and Wetherill able to just grab it and turn the corner in a hurry.
So a new set of downs for the Pioneers. Fake, now the toss from Bolin into the backfield, and the Streaks do a better job closing this one down, but still a gain of almost 5 to the near side. The toss to Justin Quintana, and he takes the pitch, and he'll be stopped right at the 30-yard line.
Andy Holloway among those over there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks as Alleman threatening to move the chains again. A 5-yard pop on first down there.
As we mentioned, the sophomores lost tonight 26-8, and the varsity for the Pioneers on this opening drive is on the move, splitting out wide to the far side, Ryan Sheely. The triple option formation, double wing, single setback, in motion. And handoff goes to Justin Quintana, who was in motion, and he got stopped in the backfield, then did a nice job of advancing it across the 30-yard line. Stopped short of the first down marker, which is at the 25, and it'll be third and one upcoming. So he did a nice job to find a hole that closed quickly to pick up a three on the play.
Streaks in the secondary. Robert Jackson, of course, with great speed, was covering whoever comes out wide on the one corner. We're a little short at defensive back. You know, I think both Holloway and Benton and Dortch, when he's back there as well, do a nice job. But Benton, 5'9", Dortch just at 5'5", and Holloway at 5'8". If you utilize some big receivers out there in the middle, you could make things happen.
Handoff goes to the right side, and an opening up the middle. Justin Quintana breaks free, pushed down from behind, but he crosses the goal line on his stomach for the touchdown.
Not what you wanted to see. I'm really surprised Alleman could move the ball that effectively on the opening series against the Silver Streaks. They just dominated up front. A couple of arm tackles slid off of Quintana as he was headed up the middle, and once he got a step on the defense, he was gone.
27-yard touchdown run for the senior, Justin Quintana. And in for the extra point attempt, Patrick Ewald, who's been pretty good. And the kick is up, and he shows a powerful leg, and it's accurate. 7-0 Alleman on the opening drive, 5:40 to play first quarter. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com. We're at Van Dyke Field, game two of the Western Big Six Conference season. As the Alleman Pioneers score on their opening drive, they take it 64 yards downfield on just seven plays. And they take 3 minutes and 38 seconds off the clock. And the Patrick Ewald extra point makes it good after the 27-yard run by Justin Quintana. And the Streaks, for only the second time this season, trail. Gillsburg ran seven plays on their opening drive, eventually had to punt it away, and Ewald's kick is short to the far side of the field. D. Dortch lets it go over his hand, and it's booted across the 15-yard line, and then the Streaks fall on it. Trayvon Diggins with the recovery. He just jumps, dives forward, and falls on it, and the Streaks don't have great field position here to start off this drive from their own 19.
Whether that was intended or not, it worked out well for the Pioneers on a short hop to Trayvon Diggins, who can be very dangerous in the return game. But the ball hit, bounced up, a little slippery, as we said, the grass showing a little bit of wetness, and all he could do finally was just fall on the thing. So Gillsburg trying to respond now after a quick early touchdown by the Pioneers.
Exactly the opposite of what the Silver Streaks were hoping to do. They wanted to come out and put a number on Alleman right from the very beginning, and here's another miscommunication at the line of scrimmage as Alleman is just pounding through that offensive line of the Silver Streaks before the Streaks can even make any handoffs, and it's everything Gillsburg can do just to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Well, it continues to amaze everybody the way Alleman does this with really not hardly any guys over 200 pounds. I mean, they beat you with kids 180, 190, kids would be probably better suited to the 1 and 2A game, but yet they're able to compete with big schools just by their fundamentals and their intensity.
The one exception they have is the big defensive tackle, Alex Wilson, at 300. Pass to the near side, intended for Trayvon Diggins, who cut across the middle on the swing pass, and it went off his hands. So Steck is now 0 for 3, only three incompletions in the entire first four games, and he has three incomplete passes tonight. As the Streaks just like that face third and a long nine coming up here. 4:44 to go, first quarter. Pioneers lead 7-0. Silver Streaks hoping to come out and make a statement here tonight. Instead, they trail, with each team having their opening possession already. Mine splits out near to the near side. Handoff goes to Trayvon Diggins on the misdirection, and he goes nowhere. Alleman is just reading everything the Silver Streaks are doing to perfection. He lost a yard, and just like that, the Streaks will have to punt.
Yeah, and they stayed home with their assignments so well that time. Patrick Ewald and Matthew Carruthers on this side just fighting off their blocks. And you're right, Brad, they had a sense for what Galesburg is going to do there. They knew Diggins would be coming around, and as soon as he was there, he had no room to run. They both hit him on each side, and the Streaks get nothing done in their second possession.
Only one man back to receive the punt. Holloman got in the neighborhood but didn't really threaten to block it. And the punt is taken just short of the 50-yard line. And to the far side of the field goes Ryan Sheely. Still some running room. And finally knocked out of bounds deep inside Galesburg territory at about the 20.
And the punter, Steck, had to make the tackle on that one. Andrew brought him down right in front of me here at about the 20-yard line. And things don't turn around. We're going to get a football lesson tonight from Olivan, because they're handing it to us right here in the first quarter.
They are showing every bit of their eighth ranking in the state of Illinois here in the early portion of the game. So the Pioneers take over with 3:56 to go here in this first quarter, already leading 7-0 and with the ball at the GHS 22-yard line. Tim Boland brings his team under center. Handoff goes straight up the middle. A little bit of running room for Mendoza, who comes off the bottom of the pile. Gain of 3 on first down.
Jermaine Carson, linebacker for the Silver Streaks, with the tackle on that one. But again, Alleman, they make 4 or 5 yards a pop. It's going to make it pretty tough tonight, and this defense is going to have to respond here. Certainly on this carry, you don't want to get down 2 touchdowns to this team, because they just don't give up many yards.
No, not at all. It's like playing a basketball team against, or playing a basketball game against a team that runs a stall offense. And once you fall behind, the chance of getting back into the game becomes twice as difficult, at least. Handoff goes to the right side to Mendoza again. Stays on his feet. Tried to get down low underneath the tackle, and he still advances the ball across the 15-yard line and close to the first down marker. Mendoza's a hard runner and a sure runner, too.
He really is. He's strong. 2 Silver Streaks had him, and I think we were going to stop him about 3 yards from where the ball is, but he got help from Kevin Weatherall. The other back from behind came up and just blasted the pile. He hit his teammate in the back, knowing that he could drive him forward. He needed a little help to get through the Silver Streak, so he might give those last 3 yards to Weatherall, who gave him a push from behind.
Quintana lines up to the right in the wing spot, Weatherall to the left. And the handoff goes to Mendoza again out of the backfield across the 10-yard line. Tripped up from behind, but it's enough for the first down. And the Alleman Pioneers have a first and goal inside the Silver Streaks 10-yard line with under 2.5 minutes to play in the first quarter. And the men in green already leading 7-0.
Really love to see the senior-dominated line for the Silver Streaks make a stand right here. Kevin Hurd, Cole Spinks, Ryan Ricketts. This is their opportunity. The time that they've been pointing to all their career is for to be able to be a contender in the Western Big Six, and this is a big step tonight if they can do it. But right now they're getting taken apart up front.
Fake handoff to the right side. Penetration in the backfield as Boland keeps it, and the Streaks taken down for a loss. Back behind the 10, Tremaine Carson, the first one to get him.
Jared Carl.
Some help from Carl, yeah.
So Carl was a monster last week all over the field, caused all sorts of problems for United Township. Both he and Tyler Ennis were in the UT backfield a good part of the night.
Boland loses 3 on first down, so it'll be second and goal back at the 12-yard line now as we approach the 90-second mark of the first quarter. Pioneers already leading 7-0, threatening for more on the fifth play of the drive upcoming here. Split backfield now. Handoff goes to the right side. Again, penetration for the Silver Streaks as the handoff goes to Quintana, and he might have gotten back to the 10-yard line for a gain of couple. Well, they'll give him just a yard to the 11, and it'll be third and goal now.
And that was Tyler Ennis that time. Tyler got nice and low, took his legs right out from underneath him, couldn't go very far, and then the rest of the Streaks came up and helped out, but good job by Ennis to get the play stopped there. And so now a big third down and 11.
Third and goal from the 11. Holloman has kicked a field goal on the season, and it would have been about from this range. But let's see what the third down play is here. Boland back to pass, gets good protection across the middle. Sheely gets past one tackle, running side to side, and that's enough to allow the Streak secondary to come up and stop him, as Andy Holloway got him first, and he stopped at about the 2.5-yard line. So let's see if the Pioneers want to go for the kick. And the field goal, Ewald does have a field goal this season, and Dave DeJager wants to talk it over for the Pioneers.
And it would just be an extra point. The ball's
pretty
at the three-yard line.
Yep.
And he showed a strong leg on that extra point. I'm thinking Alleman might go ahead and kick for the three here, but their defense is so good, they have unusual confidence in what their defense can do, so they may go ahead and go for it and figure, well, if we don't make it, Galesburg would have to go 97 yards for a touchdown. Nice job by Andy Holloway that time, and Jared Carl combining on the tackle. You know, you mentioned how the receiver that time, Weatherell, was in the middle of the field, and instead of just turning up and lowering his head and going towards the goal line, I think he thought he saw a little daylight out to the side, which quickly got covered up. And so the Streaks might have caught a break, and now we're going to send in
Stephen Harger.
Stephen Harger, that's right. He's come up big on a few goal line plays already this year, and he's going to fill up that middle again here on fourth down.
Well, the Streaks, by sending Harger in, are certainly anticipating that Alleman will go for the touchdown here, not the field goal. Ewald does have a 25-yard field goal earlier this season. This one would be about a 20-yarder. And it looks like the offensive unit is heading out, not the special teams. So the Pioneers will go for it on fourth down. Fourth and goal from the Silver Streaks 3-yard line. Boland brings his team set. Back to pass on fourth down to the near side of the field. Caught, touchdown. Wide open on the near side of the field. Kevin Weatherell brings it in. The gamble pays off for the Pioneers, and they lead it 13-0 with 14 seconds to play in the first quarter.
Not a surprise anymore when Alleman goes to the air. That used to be a shocker, but this team has become adept at throwing the football when they need to, and a well-devised play. Nice throw by Boland, led his receiver. He was the only one that could have caught that, and Weatherell just let it drop in his hands, and another six for the Pioneers.
So now Ewald will come in for the extra point, and it's a rocket between the uprights, and it's now 14-0 Pioneers with 14 seconds to play in the first quarter. So the Streaks on their opening possessions gained a first down and then a punt and then no first down, three plays, and they had to give it up on another punt. The Pioneers, meanwhile, have marched it downfield both times, 64 yards the first time. The final 27 yards by a run from Justin Quintana, this time just 22 yards as they started off with fantastic field position, and they still took over 3 minutes off the clock to nearly close out this first quarter and finished it off with a 3-yard pass play to Kevin Weatherell.
I'm surprised by both teams here. I'm surprised the Silver Streaks seem as flat as they do, and I'm surprised that Alleman is as good as they have been. I saw them up there last year. You know, they beat us 7-0, but they only scored and we fumbled deep in our own territory. But both the teams have their quarterbacks back. Boland's throwing the ball well, and Alleman, well, they just look like they've got the whole package in their class. They're going to be tough.
Ewald's kick, a line drive down the middle of the field, skips once, twice. Jackson bobbles it at the 19, now cuts upfield. Bit of a hole at the 25, cuts back to the middle of the field, breaks free at the 40, trying to get to the far side at the 50, to the Alleman 45, cuts back to the middle of the field, finally dragged down inside the 25-yard line, and that brings the first quarter to an end, and let's see if that sparks the Silver Streaks offense when we come back for second quarter action from Van Dyke Field. Pioneers lead at 14-0. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Hear ye, hear ye, and welcome to our royal celebration. Disney on Ice presents Princess Classics. It's the seven most enchanting stories of all time.
The enchantment starts at just $12 for tickets. Additional fees may apply. Log on to Ticketmaster.com for details. Experience the royal fanfare in Peoria.
Princess Classics. Get tickets today and let the happy endings begin.
An enchanted evening is coming to the Peoria Civic Center October 21st through 24th.
$1.2 million is coming the way of the city of Galesburg for help for businesses. Download a press conference on the matter by clicking on local news at WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks have terrific field position to start off the second quarter, and they need it. They'll have it at the Alleman 21-yard line as Galesburg's offense hasn't generated much of anything in the opening quarter. Alleman, meanwhile, has had two possessions and two touchdowns, including a fourth down gamble from the Galesburg 3 that produced a touchdown. It's 14-0 Pioneers, but let's see what the Silver Streaks can do starting off from their own 21-yard line to run the first play coming out of the quarter break.
Yeah, huge return by Jackson. I was hoping he could go all the way, especially against this team, because that last 21 yards can be awfully hard to get. But you'll love to see us at least get a shot at it here.
And give the defense something of a breast here. Fake hand, or that is a handoff up the middle to Jackson across the 20-yard line. He'll pick up a couple on first down. Streaks haven't gone to Jackson much in this game, as Diggins has gotten most of the touches early on. Jackson picks up, we'll call it three, just short of the 18-yard line.
Jackson got pounded down by Alabama linebacker Michael Peters, a 6-foot senior linebacker, also doubles as a running back.
It just occurred to me how lucky you got there, Jim, with the kickoff.
Yeah,
and the run back, and then we ended the quarter. You just stayed right where you were.
Dr. Garnett and I were both just watching everybody else go down the field saying, they'll be back.
Perfect option toss to Trayvon Diggins, but Alleman sniffed it out well, and Diggins barely gets back to the 20-yard line. Steck gave it up just in time as he got rocked pretty good, and then Trayvon really couldn't advance the ball at all either. So we'll call it no gain, third and seven. Well, we'll make it third and eight upcoming here.
That reminded me of last year's game because Alleman just pursues side to side so well. Last year, we kept trying to run Aaron Meredith wide, and he was just getting killed. He had to have negative yardage for that game. We tried it, and it just never worked. It was apparent that night that the Streaks are going to have to develop a passing game if they're ever going to beat Alleman, and right now we'll be in the shotgun throwing on third and eight.
Well, their defensive line has gotten such a great push tonight that Steck hasn't even had much time to look downfield. In the shotgun, he hands it off instead up the middle. Jackson, just when he found an opening, it closed extremely quickly, and he stopped at the 16-yard line. So, just like he called it, Jim, fourth down coming up in a big hurry.
Tried to catch Alleman by surprise going to the shotgun and then the handoff inside to Jackson. He had a little room to run, but Pioneers adjusted well to that. So, be really surprised if we don't put this thing in the air right here. And, you know, we've got a number of targets. If we can give Steck a little bit of time, of course, he's a danger running the football. Jared Carl, your big target, of course, the tall kid on the end. And we've used four or five different receivers this year.
Streaks feeling they need to go for it on fourth and six. They have not converted on fourth down yet this year. And now we have whistles on the field as Silver Streaks call timeout with 9:59 to go, and they want to settle everybody down here a little bit and know exactly what they're going to do if they're going to go for it here, not on fourth and inches, but on fourth and six from the Alleman, where are we, the 17-yard line. So, you know, this isn't necessarily an all-or-nothing play, but given what's happened in this game so far, it's really a critical play for the Silver Streaks to make something positive happen here.
This is one of those plays where as the coaching staff and they're looking at film of Alleman all week and getting their game plan ready, usually against your opponents, there's a couple of wrinkles that you think, okay, we're going to try this in a certain situation and it'll work. Maybe a critical part of the game. Well, I think we're already there, Brad, at 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. Alleman already up two scores. We're deep in their territory. Great opportunity to cut in. Whatever we've got in our playbook that we thought on film might work against these guys, I think you've got to use that play right here. Maybe something you haven't showed all year.
A five-man defensive front for the Pioneers has been extremely effective, as Andrew Steck has not had much time and not much protection to get the ball away, but he'll line up under center, not in shotgun, so a single setback is Jackson behind him, triple wideouts to the near side. Rolling out to the right side. Steck under pressure gets it to Jackson. Still pursuit, and Robert goes nowhere. He manages to get back just across the 15-yard line, but Alleman was ready for what the Silver Streaks had to offer, and they'll give it up on downs.
Well, I guess we didn't learn from last year. We never turned the corner on him. I don't think one time that entire game last year, and I know we've got capable backs, but I just hate to see us not at least take a shot at throwing the ball in the end zone. Maybe we just didn't feel like we could give Steck enough time to find a target.
Well, even the most talented running backs can't do anything if they're not getting any blocking. And Alleman is just defensively handing it to the Silver Streaks tonight as they're just not getting any offensive opportunities. And as effectively as they've moved the ball, boy, you sure hate to see them take over here, even from their own 15-yard line. So the worst field position they've had all night, but that certainly has not mattered to this point. And we have a timeout on the field. So let's take a timeout as well. With 9:53 to go before halftime, 14-0 Pioneers with the lead and the ball. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
I'm WGIL News Director Will Stevenson. News tips, story ideas, comments, questions, we welcome them all. Email us anytime, news@WGIL.com.
9:53 to play in the first half. Alleman leading the Silver Streaks 14-0, and the Pioneers taking over on downs at their own 15-yard line. Streaks jump at the line of scrimmage, and Bolin really took a pop from Tremaine Carson as the whistles blew. I imagine we're going to have offsides on the Silver Streaks here, as there were jumping on both sides of the line, and that's the first penalty of the game, and Alleman will now have first and five.
Yeah, Streaks were bringing everybody. Carlson Spinks got jumpy along the line of scrimmage there. And, you know, Sean Hickey, our defensive coordinator, told us on the scouting report before the game that Alleman is very adept at getting you to jump offsides. In one game earlier this season, got eight of those up at Rich East, eight of them. And so you want to be aggressive on defense, but you've got to really be restrained, too, in the fact that Alleman is not only talented, but they're smart. They will make you make mistakes.
Dave DeJager hasn't been around this long for nothing. So Tim Bolin, the senior quarterback, brings his team under center. Handoff straight up the middle. Streaks read that one pretty well. A little bit of a run across the left side of the Alleman offensive line for a gain of maybe a yard, as Mendoza has picked up some hard yardage here tonight. He's been the go-to guy so far for the Pioneers. Seven carries, but just 25 yards. But he does move things forward for them, and it'll be second and four coming up here.
And Steven Harger getting some quality minutes in now. He's on this defensive series right over center. Looks like Ryan Ricketts, when he's out, Steven will be in.
In motion, Mendoza, as he lines up in the wing spot this time. Handoff goes up the middle, and again, Streaks stop the action fairly effectively. Gain of a couple more. And it'll be third and about a yard.
Well, you know, if you're the center for Alleman, which is Dan Soskowski, you know, he might think, oh, great, 63, Ricketts is off the field. And he looks up, and there's Steven Harger looking at him. So, yeah, it's like, wow, the big just got bigger. So it's going to be a long night for Soskowski, no matter who he's looking at on the nose for the Silver Streaks. We got some big guys up there.
Still some movement at the line of scrimmage, but the handoff goes up the middle, and that'll be enough for a first down. As a little extracurricular activity after the play, some arms flying, some guys pushing. But that's enough for the first down for the Pioneers, as I think the Streaks are showing a little frustration here, as it's been nothing but positives tonight for the Pioneers, as Mendoza advances at three more for the first down at the Silver Streaks 27. They don't get much, but no. They move the chains, and that allows them to hang on to the ball for a long time and wear you down.
That's what makes it so hard to play these guys, because they will shorten the game substantially when they get ahead. You know, we've talked about how they've thrown the football, but they won't do it unless it's necessary. They're not going to give you an opportunity for a quick pick six. So if they're up, they're probably going to just milk that clock as much as they can.
Handoff, fake handoff, as Bolin gets the toss this time to Kevin Wetherill to the near side of the field. Streaks running down at the 30-yard line, but he picks up three more. Jared Carl, D. Dortch there to close him off. Ball sits just across the Alleman 30-yard line for a gain of three, second and seven.
Yeah, you can really feel the concern down here on the Silver Streak sideline, too. It's pretty quiet, much more subdued than we've seen all season long. And, you know, these guys know what they're up against now. If they didn't before kickoff, down 14 points with Alleman with the ball, everybody, I think, just reflecting on what their duties might be when they get in there. And it's certainly not a loose team right now. This is a group on the Galesburg side that's very concerned.
Back to pass on second down. Bolin looks downfield. Good pass in the air to Sheely, and he steps out of bounds after the completion inside the Galesburg 40 down to the 36-yard line. Just a perfect pass down the Alleman sideline from Bolin right into the numbers for Ryan Sheely, And just like that, the Pioneers are in Galesburg territory at the 36.
Okay, this definitely isn't your father's Alleman, is it?
All those jokes over all the years. Dave DeJager and his Pioneers are getting the last laugh right now after a gain of 36.
When they're throwing long up 14, this is not the Alleman we're used to seeing.
Handoff up the middle. Mendoza gets down low, blasts off a Silver Streak defender at the 30, forward to the 25-yard line, and close to another first down. They will move the chains.
Mendoza, very tough runner, gets the extra yards for Alleman. And, you know, this, you can't help sometimes, but especially get in the middle of the season, start comparing scores and looking down your schedule a little bit. How good must Quincy be to have given these guys as much as they did last week?
Yeah, that's right. So a first down and now another first down, and the handoff up the middle again, rolling down to the 25-yard line for the Pioneers goes Mendoza again. He is the workhorse for Alleman this evening. We're not even to the midpoint of the second quarter. The Streaks have already given up more points in this game than they have in any game all season long. And they're in danger of giving up more as the Pioneers have pushed it down to the 20 on second and five coming up.
And, you know, last week Quincy went up to Alleman's field and actually outgained the Pioneers from scrimmage, had 303 total yards.
That's right.
But Alleman won the game 13-6.
And off to the right side, Streaks roll down. Looks like it was Andy Holloway. Innes there to make the stop on Justin Quintana, but he still gains three more to the 17. He had the big touchdown run earlier, fourth carry of the night for Quintana for 34 yards. As we are now at the midpoint of the second quarter, 6 minutes to play and a third and one upcoming for the Pioneers.
Earlier today, I thought the wind might be a factor in this game, but in the sophomore game, in fact, it was still blowing pretty well out of the northwest, but then just before that game got over, the wind died, and it's really been very pleasant down here, not affecting the game at all.
Ooh, fumble on the snap, and Boland just falls on it.
Nice break.
As Kevin Hurd was coming in from the near side. I think Robert Jackson was coming up the middle out of the secondary, so they'll lose a yard in the play, and now it'll be fourth down and three from the Silver Streaks 18-yard line. So only the second time tonight they did not convert on third down, but it is fourth down territory.
Yeah, so in the short yardage situation, they'll bring Jacob Ryden comes out for the Streaks, Stephen Harger back in. So we go with a big lineup with both Ricketts and Harger up there along with Cole Spinks, the defensive front trying to be set on fourth and short.
Fourth and about three to go. Back to pass Boland. Now on the toss. Gets it to the near side. Spinning off a man. Thrown down inside the 15-yard line as Kevin Wetherell bounced off a Silver Streaks defender. And his forward progress is not enough, though. The officials don't even measure. And I see a couple of Alleman players toss their hands up in frustration. I think they wanted a measurement, but the officials are going to say nope. They immediately signal going the other direction. So the Streaks bend, but don't break for the first time tonight, despite a couple of big plays on an Alleman drive that started at the Galesburg at their own 15-yard line and stalls at the Galesburg 15-yard line.
Yeah, the reason you don't have to measure that because the nose of the ball is on the other side of the 15 and the stick was just on this side. So
oh, okay.
You could look down the line and see just by the yard line marker that they didn't make it.
Streaks are packed up on the offensive line of scrimmage here with a single setback. Steck on a keeper, sidesteps one defender, and then he stopped after a gain of three as the white jerseys come pouring in. So a hard three for Andrew Steck, but it is positive yardage. Streaks want to put together an extended drive here, not just in yardage in terms of starting at their own 15. Their defense needs a rest, and we're under 5 minutes to go in the first half. So they need to make something positive and extended happen here and try to build some momentum heading into halftime. Nathan Mines puts out wide to the far side of the field, the home side of the field for the Silver Streaks, is Chaz Benton and Jared Carl lined up right next to each other on the near side with single coverage, now double coverage there to guard both of them. Handoff up the middle for Jackson, rolls off a defender, still on his feet as it looked like one of the Alleman defenders kind of grabbed him by the arm and held him up so the knee didn't go down, but then he stopped across the 20-yard line. It'll be third and three upcoming. Huge third down here for the Silver Streaks. Trailing 14-0 with under 4 minutes to play in the first half. Silver Streaks need a big third down conversion here.
Streaks into the heart of their schedule tonight, and then it gets even tougher next week.
I guess.
On the road at second-ranked Class 6A Rock Island Rocks.
And there's another second-ranked team that's looming on the schedule
at the end.
The last game of the season. So, yeah, this is definitely when it gets as difficult as it's going to get for the Silver Streaks the rest of the way. On third down, Steck to pass, swings it to the far side. Mines comes back for it with a perfect reception in first down territory, and the Streaks move the chains up to the 27-yard line.
Yeah, perfectly executed play. Heck of a throw from Steck. Mines, sure-handed receiver. Don't throw to him a lot, but a possession receiver. We need something over around the sidelines. Nathan's been right there a number of times this year, and the Streaks get a big, big first down.
Only the second first down of the night for the Silver Streaks. As the clock continues to roll toward the three-minute mark of the first half, trailing 14-0, Galesburg at its own 27-yard line. Fake handoff, Steck with the keeper. He's got a first down up the home side of the field. Stopped just short of the 40-yard line. So back-to-back first downs for the Silver Streaks. Maybe they're finally starting to get a little bit of breathing room.
Well, the ball out to the 40 now. The clock running at just under 3 minutes. Long way to go in 3 minutes against an Alleman team that you'd love to bust a big play on them, but it's just tough. They've always got somebody around the ball. Even like Steck there, there are some teams he probably would have taken that for a touchdown, but still enough Alleman players around forced him to change direction. He finally slipped after a 10-yard gain.
Fifth play of the drive in the shotgun. Steck rolling to the home side of the field, looking downfield, gets the pass away, and he overthrows Mines as the pressure was coming from behind, and a good job to get that one away to bring up second down.
Andrew, he bought as much time as he could coming over here towards the sidelines, waited for something to develop. Finally did go ahead and throw it, but threw it in an area where there was no way the defense was going to get it, and as it turned out, none of the Silver Streaks could quite get it either, just basically a throwaway and try again on second down.
Second and 10 for the Streaks from the 40. Stops the clock with 2:32 to play in the first half, and the Pioneers leading 14-0. Chaz Benton in motion from the left side. Steck rolling to the near side, gets the toss away to Robert Jackson at the 40. Cutting up field, spins away from a man at the 45, and then gang tackled at the 47-yard line. Nice run by Robert Jackson, pretty patient run. Found the openings when they were there, took advantage of them, and that allows the Streaks to come up with third and fairly short yardage, but still 3 yards to go against this tough Alleman defense. Only 17 yards rushing tonight for Robert Jackson on six carries.
Yeah, the yards have come very, very hard for Robert. Andrew did what he was supposed to do there, waiting for the defense to commit, and then made what was maybe a little bit of a dangerous pitch. You've got to make sure that ball's right in the hands of your tailback, and that's what Robert got a nice one and took off, and we've got a third and three, and now we may get another timeout here.
Streaks have converted on third down just under 59% of the time this season. They're 2 for 5 so far tonight. So the Streaks use their second timeout with a minute 46 to go before halftime, and the Pioneers leading 14-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at GalesburgCars.com.
$1.2 million is coming the way of the city of Galesburg for help for businesses. Download a press conference on the matter by clicking on local news at WGIL.com.
1:46 to play before halftime. 14-0, Pioneers leading, but the Silver Streaks have the ball at their own 47-yard line with a 3rd and 3 upcoming. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout and a wishbone set. Dropping back, Steck with a handoff. Jackson's got the first down in Alleman territory to the 45-yard line, and the Streaks, with another big third down conversion on the drive, move the chains and a new set of downs with the clock stopped at a minute 41. But it'll start again here quickly.
Well, now
wise
the question
timeout
is,
there.
Yeah, have we figured something out that we'll be able to carry into the second half, or is Alderman just getting a little tired out there and we're starting to wear him down. In the halftime, they'll get rejuvenated. I don't know what the – we'll talk with Jay Barshinger, of course, at halftime and find out what the offensive plan is for the second half. But right now, you'd love to see this drive continue, but time is getting short.
Yep, down to a minute 20 and rolling. At the 45-yard line of the Pioneers, fake handoff by Steck. Now he'll keep it. Tries to step back to the middle of the field, and there is nothing there. He gets across the 45, and generously it'll be a yard gain, and it'll be second and nine as we approach the one-minute mark of the first half.
Well, now you've got to think we're looking at throwing the ball as both Nathan Mines and Jared Carl check into the game, some of the favorite targets of Andrew Steck. And you figure, well, we may have a couple of shots down the field here.
Carl splits out wide left, Mines wide right. Holloway joins him on the right side with Trayvon Diggins in the slot. Jackson the single setback, Steck in the shotgun. Takes a low snap, drops back behind the 50, steps up in the pocket. Lofts it downfield, and the only man there is a player for the Pioneers who then dropped the ball. And that would have been a heck of a catch if Justin Quintana had been able to bring that in over the shoulder. But he was the only one there. And the Streaks are extremely fortunate to still have the ball here.
Well, normally Andrew's one that he's throwing toward a specific target. Right there, he was just throwing to an area and hoping that Mines would be able to run under that ball. But Andrew's arm is so strong that Mines didn't have the speed to get under that. The only guy that did was Quintana, who, I don't know, maybe just as well for all of them, they would have had it clear back on the 5-yard line.
But only 29 seconds to go before the half. Third and nine, another low snap. Better protection for Steck. Now the pocket collapses. Rolling to the right, he'll keep it, and he stops short of the first of the line of scrimmage, rather, as a great open field tackle by Kevin Weatherill, who came charging in and stopped Steck for no gain, and the Streaks burn their final timeout with 18 and a half seconds to go.
Yeah, Weatherill showed you what a excellent football player he was right there.
Yes.
Because he was out there with Robert Jackson when he thought Robert might be in pass territory. And then as soon as he saw Andrew commit to the run, Jackson was trying to block him, but Andrew Robert didn't have the angle. He was trying to get a body on him, but he knew he'd get called for a block in the back if he hit him much. So as soon as Weatherill realized that, he just blew right up there and tackled Andrew Steck, and a good, strong, aggressive solo tackle by Weatherill covered two of our best players in one play.
Only 47 yards rushing for the Silver Streaks in this first half. This is a team that we knew the early part of the schedule was the soft part of the schedule. But here's a team that even in spite of that, or maybe because of that, this is a Galesburg team that comes in averaging about 350 yards a game on the ground. And they don't even have 50 yards rushing as they go for it on fourth down. In the shotgun, Steck steps up in the pocket as it collapses on him, and he's wrapped up at the 40-yard line. So he gains five more, and that runs us down to the 11-second mark of the second quarter. And the Streaks will give it up on down, still without a fourth down conversion this season. They are now 0-for-8, including 0-for-2 in this game.
Well, and sometimes that lack of good competition hurts you in the fact that, you know, like when Andrew dropped the ball there and took off, which was probably the right decision, but against the other teams we've played so far, there would have been a lot of running room. Against these guys, he got nailed by four Alleman players after he took about three steps. That's the difference in competition.
Alleman will just take a knee here for the final play of the first half, and they do. So the Silver Streaks head to the locker room in frustration. They hold the Pioneers scoreless in the second quarter, but the Pioneers scored on their opening two possessions of the first quarter, and that's where we stand at the half. 14-0 Alleman as the teams head to the locker rooms. Let's see if the Streaks can get regrouped and come out and make something happen in the next two quarters. But for now, it's 14-0 Alleman at the break. When we come back on the post-game show, Jim Lee had a chance to visit with former Silver Streak Tom Danielson. We'll hear from that. We'll hear that coming up at the half. We'll also get news updates from the WGIL newsroom and from Fox News as well. Pioneers lead it 14-0 at the half here at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're looking for a car, do you ever get the feeling that you're waiting on the salesperson rather than the salesperson waiting on you? At Bob Lindsay Cars, they know how important your time and money is and that it's their job to earn your business. Their salespeople will give you straight answers to questions and fair prices on a great selection of quality cars, trucks, and vans. Find Bob Lindsay at 1687 North Henderson, just north of Arby's in Galesburg. Spend your time and money wisely at Bob Lindsay Cars. They look forward to waiting on you.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family, by Office Specialists, where your office is their business, and by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
Red 22.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room? Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
This iced latte is the perfect daytime reward.
But cool indulgence has a price. What did you sacrifice? Rich flavor or convenience?
It's a McCafe iced latte. No sacrifice there.
But it must have cost you a fortune.
Nope. Got it at McDonald's.
Listen, guys, can we ease up on the drums? I think the drums make it feel even hotter out here.
I'm fine.
Really? Because I feel hotter.
Treat yourself to a fresh ground McCafe iced mocha, latte, or cappuccino. Only at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. No sacrifice necessary.
You know what's a pain? The cost of propane. How much are you planning to spend this winter? Take a few minutes now to consider a hybrid heating system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This hybrid system constantly compares inside and outside air temperatures and switches between two energy sources to keep your home at the temperature you want automatically. It'll help take the pain out of the cost of propane. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. The official WGIL forecast tonight is brought to you by financial advisor John Herman at Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Serving you in the same location for over 10 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg, member SIPC. Tonight, clear and low 48. Tomorrow, sunny in the morning, partly sunny with a chance of rain in the afternoon, high of 65. Saturday night, rain in the evening, becoming less likely after midnight, low 49. And then Sunday, looks like it's going to be cloudy with a high of 66. Right now, it's 64 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the Galesburg Electric Halftime Report. Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. The station Galesburg tunes to for news, talk, and Silver Streaks football. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
On the block following me around. Can't blame them. I'm gorgeous. I use shampoos and conditioners made for my coat. I blow it out using Conair's Yellow Dog, a dryer for pets. And with a quick run of the Furminator down my back, say bye-bye to loose hairs. Excuse me, won't you? Time for my pedicure.
Arf, arf. Doggy Spa Supplies from Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
You lost over $400 worth of meat in your freezer, missed 72 hours worth of DVR'd sports, and couldn't shower or flush your toilet for 3 days, all while surviving on a stale chip and hot pop diet. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and time to talk to the former Silver Streak player, Tom Danielson, who joins us now. The class of 07, I believe you're telling me, Tom, a lineman for the Silver Streaks, and now you're over here at Monmouth College. And I guess, first of all, thanks for joining us. And second of all, sorry about what's happened to you this year. Tell us a little bit about what's transpired in your football career.
Well, I got my starting spot this year, and then I tore my MCL, my meniscus, and fractured my tibia, but still coming out every day, and glad to be around the team still for another year, hoping for big things again. So,
is this the first time you've ever had an injury like that, Tom?
Yeah, one that was going to set me out for this long. I'll be out for at least 6 weeks right now, but other than that, it's just been minor things along the way. So,
it's got to keep you going, to the thought that maybe you'll be able to get back out there, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm hoping that's the case. It's my last year of football, so always anxious to play and get back out there and get ready to go.
So this particular injury, at least not one you're having to have surgery on, right?
No, hopefully not. They said they may have to go in and do some things with my meniscus, but everything else seems to be pretty good and said it'll heal on its own. So,
you seem to have a pretty upbeat attitude, and I guess that's the only approach you can take. It'd be easy to get down because you've paid your dues on a huge Monmouth College roster here over the years, waiting your turn to get in that starting lineup, and you work so hard, and then it's really tough to get a setback like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's still nice just to be out and around football and all your friends, and it's just great to be a Scott.
Well, let's talk about your decision to play college football. Let's go back to Galesburg High School. Did you know from the time you were young in high school that you might want to play some college ball?
Always when I was a little kid, I wanted to play at Nebraska. But once the time got a little closer and started looking at things a little better, I was pretty sure that I wanted to play college ball. And then Coach Ragone over here got in touch with me, and I really liked the school and decided to come here and play football.
When you come to a D3 school, some might think, well, it's not that different from high school. I've seen the hitting out here. It's quite a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And then they keep you working during camp, too. It's like having a full-time job. You're in meetings and everything else from about 7 in the morning till about 10 at night. So,
wow. How about the difference from playing in high school as far as your position? You're still on the offensive line. Is it quite a bit different, though?
Oh, it's a little bit different. Definitely the pass protection and stuff like that is a lot different. Also, the scheme, we have a zone scheme, so I had to get used to a lot of that as a freshman. But it's getting fed to you all the time, and you're out and doing it so much that you get the hang of it pretty quickly. So,
you know, and I made this comment with talking with Steve Bell here a few weeks ago. When I watched the Monmouth College offense, it looks like it would be very complex. You got guys looking at their wristbands all the time, and at least when Tanny was playing, it looked like he was calling a lot of audibles and things. Do you find it complex from the up front, or have you got the hang of it?
It's a little complex, but for the most part, it's pretty straightforward, and all week in practice, you get to see what the other team's going to do, so you're prepared for it all. So,
from a physical standpoint, do you have a certain diet regimen the team has to follow? I guess as an offensive lineman, you want to keep the pounds on, and your workout. Tell us all about that.
We want to keep the pounds on, yeah, but we don't want to be too heavy because we want to be quick still. And then basically they don't really give us any diet that we have to follow, but we do work out every morning at 5:45 a.m. and run too, so... That's good for us. It builds character. And then also this past spring we got to do spring ball. So we actually had the month of April, and we did practices, I think, 3 nights a week for a couple hours. So, and that was actually a lot of fun too. So.
So anybody that wants to be a slacker, don't play college ball, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and on top of all the football work, you're here to get an education too. Have you found it tough to work in your studies, or have you been able to balance that?
It's really not. It actually helps you a little bit more during football season because you have more of a, you know, you're doing this and then this and then this and then practice and then eat, and then, you know, you got to do your homework and get to bed and do it all over again. So,
sure. What is your major, Tom?
I'm a physics and math double major.
Any particular occupation you're working towards?
I'm hoping to go to graduate school next year and study material science or medical physics, something like that.
Okay. And graduate school where?
I have about a list of 20 of them right now. My mom's asking the same question. So.
Not Nebraska?
They're one of them on the list, so, yep.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about your Galesburg High School experience. Look back as a career to Silver Streak. A couple of things that stand out to you, a couple of games or people or something that just jump out at you?
Homecoming was always fun, and, you know, just the biggest thing about football, the thing that's always kept me interested in, is just always being with your friends. You know, this is where I've made my best friends all through, and just every game, you know, playing next to the guy, you know, that you've known since you lived here, things like that. So I'll always remember it, and I guess the game that sticks out to me most was actually my 8th grade year when Churchill Lombard was the first year they brought it back, and we beat Lombard. So that was a good start. I thought it gave, you know, some to talk about with all the guys coming together from Churchill and Lombard. So,
do you keep in touch with any of your high school teammates?
Oh yeah, definitely. Charlie Pritchard and Zach Ricketts. So a lot of the guys, and then a couple of them are here. Zach Bomey was here last year. Now he's at Knox. Yeah. So keep in touch with all of them pretty good. So
of course Zach Ricketts over there too. So you look forward to that rivalry game, huh?
Oh yeah, we always talk about it every year. So.
How about coaches? Anybody in particular that made an impression on you that helped your game?
A Coach Chatterton always had a big impression on us. He left our junior year, and then Coach Olson came in, and he made a big impression too. And also Coach Hickey, you know, I had him as a teacher when I was in the seventh grade, so it was always good to be around him. Had good chemistry with all the coaches all the time at Galesburg High School. So, and the coaches here have been great too. So,
I'm sure now you've got quite a difference, not only in the games from high school to college. You're basically playing against boys to playing against men here in the transition. But at Galesburg, there weren't a whole lot of wins a lot of times. You come over here, and in your years here, you haven't had hardly any losses up until some setbacks this year. How's that been on your psyche to all of a sudden go to such a winning program?
Oh, it's great, definitely, to be on a winning team and to be able to try to contribute to that and help everyone out and get better. But, you know, playing football, you got to love the game. And so win or lose, it's rewarding to be out there, I think.
You get a chance to get over to see any of the Galesburg High School games?
I haven't been over in a while now. I'm hoping to get over there this year. So, but my freshman, sophomore year, I went to almost all home games. So.
Yeah, well, they're playing pretty good ball right now. I think you'd like what you see. Well, maybe their best chance to go to the playoffs in quite a while.
Awesome. That'd be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tom, I know you're going to head to the practice field here shortly. We thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us, and it's always good to see a Silver Streak continue on in athletics. And certainly when your athletic career is done, sounds like you've got some good things going on going to graduate school. So best wishes. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Go Streaks.
Okay. All right. That's good to hear. Tom Danielson, former Silver Streak, now with the Monmouth College Fighting Scots, our guest here at halftime of Silver Streaks football. We'll continue from Van Dyke Field after this on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
Roughly 20 fire departments from four counties, including this area, all helped put out a fire at an animal rendering plant in rural Henry County. Firefighters from Knoxville to the Quad Cities were all called to the Darling International plant on the edge of Lynn Center starting around 7 a.m. today after the Orion Fire Chief Larry Anderson says a fire started in a metal building that had animal byproducts stored in it. As for why the departments were needed, Anderson says Lynn Center has no fire hydrants, which caused the need for many tanker trucks. Think Rod Blagojevich, and the first words that come to your mind might include big hair or convicted felon. One word unlikely to come to your mind is trust. But that didn't stop sponsors of what is billed as a trust forum in New York City on Tuesday from asking Blagojevich to be on the panel. A notice on the organizer's website says Blagojevich will discuss what it characterizes as, quote, his unique take on trust. I'm Emily Ford. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Lindsay Lohan could soon be out of jail. A judge saying the actress can be released on $300,000 bail. Lohan recently failed a drug test and was sent back to jail without bail earlier today. Executions have been on hold in California for 4 years until now.
Earlier this week, a state appellate court lifted an injunction on executions in the state. Now a federal judge has denied a stay of execution for Albert Greenwood Brown, but says he can choose to die by a single injection or the state's revamped three-drug method.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal, Brown's execution slated for next week. A plea from freed American hiker Sarah Shore to the president of Iran. Release the two other locked-up Americans.
They committed no crime, and I would just like him to do everything he can to help them.
Shore, speaking earlier with Fox News, met with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in New York. Fox News, we report, you decide.
When you trust, you rely on the strength, integrity, and ability of another. For over a century, families in Galesburg and the surrounding communities have put their trust in OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Our physicians, family practitioners, and staff work hard to earn your trust every day through the use of the latest technologies and procedures, providing a comfortable environment for you to discuss treatment options as well as prevention, giving you confidence that you are receiving the highest quality health care possible. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate Habitat for Humanity of Knox County, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by James Eklund. Congratulations from WGIL.
It's what you've been waiting for, and it's finally here. The closeout sale at Yem.
With new 2011s arriving daily, Yem has to make room, so they're marking down prices on select new 2010s and passing the extraordinary savings on to you. Right now, you can buy a new Chevy Silverado regular cab truck for under $18,000 and save over $5,000. Or buy a new 2010 Chevy Impala LT for under $20,000 and save over $6,000. And if you're set on driving a new 2010 Chevy Silverado Extended Cab 4x4 Z71, now's the time to buy, because it can be yours for under $30,000 and with a savings of over $7,000. Don't miss these great savings at Yem during their new 2010 vehicle closeout sale going on now. There won't be a better time to buy, so don't wait. See the folks at Yem today while there's still plenty of 2010 models to choose from. Yem, home to Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Chevrolet, an American revolution.
We're at Van Dyke Field. Both teams were out of the locker rooms early. Streaks trail at the half, 14-0 to the Alleman Pioneers. Jim Lee is with assistant coach Jay Barshinger.
All right, well, Jay, obviously Alleman not a team you want to be down 14 points to. It happened early. Seemed like we got a little bit of life there toward the end of the half. Can we sustain that in the second half?
Well, absolutely, and that's our whole thing. We didn't play very well in the first quarter. Three and out a couple times on offense and a couple big plays for touchdowns and, you know, found ourselves down 14-0. Second quarter came out, we played better, got a couple stops defensively, moved the ball, got some first downs on offense, and we need to sustain that, obviously, in the second half.
Do we try different things in the second half to move the ball, or just do what we did in the first half, only do it better?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, there's some things that we did in the first half, got to continue. Some things we need to tweak that we did that we need to do just a little bit differently to be successful doing that. You know, I don't think you need to get away from what we do, but, you know, maybe block something a little differently or give them a different look.
Well, and I suppose as a player, when you've had some big games, you get into one like this, and the things that worked so well for you before, all of a sudden they're getting stuffed, and it's probably you got to keep the players from getting too frustrated, huh?
Well, you know, obviously, I mean, they're well coached, and they do a good job of taking away things, and their defense is, you know, only giving up 14 points, and I don't know how many games in a row. So they do a good job, and our kids knew that coming in. They know this, you know, this is a good quality team, and you're playing the Western Big Six, you got to be ready to play every night, and you know, we're in for a dogfight. We need, you know, two scores in the second half.
Need a score early to get this thing back in within reach, I guess.
Yeah, they get the ball here to start the second half, and we need to stop and, you know, put the ball in the end zone.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jim.
14-0 Pioneers at the half. Take a look at the first half statistics. Streaks racked up only 51 yards on the ground in 17 attempts. Andrew Steck, 7 carries for 31 yards. Robert Jackson, 6 rushes for 17 yards. Trayvon Deggins touched it 3 times for only 2 yards, and Chaz Benton had a 1-yard plunge across the middle for his only carry of the night. Again, 17 rushes, just 51 yards on the ground for the Silver Streaks. Andrew Steck came into this game at 86% completion rate. Passing tonight, only 1 of 6 for 4 yards. His only completion to Nathan Mines. For the Alleman Pioneers, 19 rushes for 84 yards in the first half. Max Mendoza got most of those, 11 carries for 47 yards. Justin Quintana carried it 4 times for 34 yards, including a 27-yard touchdown run. Kevin Wetherell, a couple of carries for 8 yards, and Tim Boland, the quarterback, got sacked a couple of times for -5. Boland passing the ball, however, a perfect 4 for 4 on the night for 64 yards, and a 3-yard touchdown pass to Kevin Wetherell, 2 receptions for 21 yards. Ryan Sheely, a couple of receptions for 43 yards. The Silver Streaks, as you heard assistant coach Jay Barshinger say, will kick off in the second half, so the Pioneers will have the ball. Scored in their first two possessions of the game, led it 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and both teams were held scoreless in the second quarter. So we are ready to kick things off in the second half. Only one penalty in the first half. That was a 5-yard offsides penalty on the Silver Streaks. The ball kicked by Galesburg downfield, bounces at the 25-yard line and right into the numbers for the Pioneers, for Justin Quintana, who returns it to the 30-yard line, and that's where the Pioneers will take over.
Jermaine Carson and Aslan Butler in on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. Pretty good coverage all in all, stopping the ball at the 31, and as Jay told us there at halftime, we need a quick stop here, get the ball back, get a score, and make this thing a ball game.
Sophomores lost tonight. They are now 3-1 on the season after falling 26-8 in the opener, and the varsity game really hasn't gone any better up to this point. The Pioneers scored on their opening two possessions of the first half. Silver Streaks look for a big defensive stop on the opening possession of the second half. The handoff to Mendoza, who runs across the right side, wrapped up from behind and taken down. Cole Spinks made the initial hit. and got an assist from Andy Holloway. Pickup of three on first down for Max Mendoza. His longest carry of the night in the first 11 attempts was for 11 yards. Everything else was in single digits, but Mendoza runs hard. He covers up the football well, and he is a definite asset for his team. Second and eight upcoming for the Pioneers as we're just underway in the second half with a 14-0 Alleman lead. Streak show blitz. Fumble in the backfield on the handoff. Couple of black jerseys there, but it looks like Alleman gets it right back as Boland fell on it. Then the ball popped forward. Silver Streaks indicating that they think they have it as it's recovered at the 35-yard line, and they do get it back. The ball came squirting out as Boland tried to fall on it on the misconnection, and the Streaks are the ones who come up with it at the Pioneer 35-yard line. Well, just like Jay Barshinger said, right, Jim?
Well, yeah, and you know, it was interesting because Robert Jackson seemed convinced that we had the ball when he came away looking at the bottom of the pile. He was giving the indication, but you didn't know whether that was just wishful thinking or whether he really saw something. Well, apparently he did, and yeah, Jay's halfway there. We got what we needed, a turnover. You don't get that many times from Alleman. Better take advantage of this right now.
Only the fourth fumble of the season for the Pioneers. Streaks in a single setback formation. Handoff straight up the middle, and Jackson, the guy who came off so charged up after the fumble recovery, picks up a good strong five on first down here. Yeah. So the Streaks get it in Alleman territory after the turnover and a good advancement on first down, Jim.
Yeah, momentum's so important, especially down here. You know, we talked it in the first half about it just seemed very solemn on the Silver Streak sideline. They knew they were up against such a tough deficit down 14 to this Alleman team, but they came out of the locker room with some life. Of course, they're probably their most excitement getting that fumble recovery. They really need to cash in on this and get their confidence up
so
here.
So only a minute gone in the second half, and the Streaks are on offense. Handoff straight up the middle. Little bit of running room across the middle of the line for the Silver Streaks. Right behind Cole Spinks is where Robert Jackson takes it. He'll be a yard short of the first down after a gain of five down to the Alleman 26-yard line. That's his second longest run of the night tonight, Jim. 5 yards.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you're going well like we were earlier in the season, we had a multifaceted attack. Steck could run, Diggins, Jackson. You just seem to have so many weapons. And then you get against a really good defensive team, and nothing works. And all of a sudden, you just wonder, what happened?
Alleman comes set defensively. Handoff goes. No. Steck on the keeper. Tries to get upfield. He stops short of the first down marker. Tries to roll back to the inside to the 25-yard line. And I think he got it. And the
wow.
Officials immediately indicate that he does. Steck got hit short of the first down marker. Running left. He got down low and then just tried to roll out from underneath the Alleman defenders. And somehow he got to the 24-yard line and moved the chains. How in the world did he do that?
That was one of those the officials probably could have blown it dead a little earlier if they wanted to, but elected to let the play continue. And fortunately for the Silver Streaks, it turned what might have been a yard loss into a first down.
They're actually 4-for-8 on third downs now after that conversion. They stick with the single setback formation, wide outs to each side. Handoff up the middle, and that goes nowhere as Alleman gets penetration across the line of scrimmage once again, and that looks a lot more reminiscent of what we saw in the first half. No gain, maybe even lost a little on first down for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, I'd have to see that one again, but from down here on this side of the line, it looked like the handoff wasn't very clean. It was like Andrew was... He was trying to give it to Robert, but he wasn't sure that Jackson had it, so he wasn't letting go of it, and both of them were holding on to it, and that really slowed down Robert's chance for momentum.
Ball inside the Alleman 25-yard line after the Pioneers' turnover, under 9 minutes to play third quarter. Streaks with a second and long 10 upcoming here. Chaz Benton in motion gets Alleman to jump at the defensive line, and he runs right into pressure in the backfield, right into two Alleman defenders for a huge loss.
Yeah, and I'm not laughing from what happened, but I'm amazed at how well Alleman pursues side to side. I said it in the first half. We watched it all last year. It is just so hard to run anything to the wide side of the field on this Alleman team. They just blow you up. You try and get guys out there in position to block, and Alleman's just too quick and too aggressive, and their ends just do not let you turn a corner.
Chaz Benton loses 9 on the play. And it's third and almost 20 with the clock stopping at 8:08 to go in the third quarter as they had to get the down marker moved back. So third and 20 for the Silver Streaks from the Alleman 33-yard line. After the turnover, the Streaks had it at the 35 and moved the chains once, and now they've moved it almost all the way back to where they originally took over. In motion, Benton again. Steck with a fake toss. Now back to pass. Looks upfield under pressure, and he gets sacked almost back at the 40-yard line. Steck was looking downfield. Everybody was covered in man-to-man coverage, and Steck gets sacked back at the 39-yard line for a loss of another six.
Michael Peters, solo tackle that time. Another indication of what good football players Alleman has. They make so many solo tackles. And, you know, Peters at 160. Steck is pretty tough to bring down. But
it's only the second time he's been sacked all season for a loss.
Well, yeah, a lot of times they get a pad on him and they'll get a hand on him, but he doesn't go down easy. But Peters, with a good sure tackle, brought him down there. And Alleman just, a lot of people at halftime in the press box were just saying, you know, these guys are just, they're just good football players. They're not that big across there, but they're just very quality players.
Well, on fourth and 25, the Streaks lined up for it. And then get called for another penalty. Only the second of the game, but this will go back five more yards. So now it'll be fourth and 30. And now I think you have to get in punt formation because the ball is all the way back to the 44-yard line after the Streaks took over following the Alleman turnover at the 35. So in the last three plays, two losses and a penalty, the Streaks have lost 20 yards. And in punt formation, Steck now back in his own territory. Gets the punt away, and a high one, trying to get the special teams down underneath, and a fair catch called for inside the 20-yard line, where Alleman will take over at the 18-yard line after McGinnis brought it in.
Well, our best opportunity off the turnover started with a high point with a couple of positive gains and a first down, but then went backwards, as you said, Brad. By the time we had that, it was about fourth and 30, I think, there.
Yep.
And so the Pioneers will get it back. No harm done for them.
At their own 18-yard line. So this is another opportunity for the Streaks defense to really step up here and try to make something happen. They did it on the last possession, but the offense couldn't take advantage of it. Mendoza with a handoff to the left side, and he runs into a wall. And finally, the officials stopped the play after a gain of three.
Wall led by Cole Spinks, and who's getting up off the bottom? D. Dortch there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks.
Has seen both teams, as this game has progressed, crowd the line of scrimmage even more. Streaks offense has not been lined up quite so open. That double wing set, they've actually put more guys right across the line of scrimmage, gone with single setback formation. And Alleman definitely crowding up on the defensive line. And now the Streaks are showing more pressure closer to the line of scrimmage, trying to stop that Alleman run. And they do so again here as the handoff goes to Mendoza again. And as soon as he crosses the line of scrimmage, he's brought down for a gain of maybe two more. It'll be third and five.
Yeah, Spinks got a nice jump on that, as did Tyler Ennis. They combined for the tackle. Almost like they knew the snap count on that and were quickly into the Alleman, well, maybe not the backfield, but certainly there at the line of scrimmage to make the tackle for a gain of about a yard.
So from the Alleman 23-yard line, big third down opportunity for the Streaks defense here with 5.5 minutes to play, third quarter. Third and five for the Pioneers. Streaks crowding the line of scrimmage again. Little penetration to the near side, but Boland has time, gets the pass away into double coverage, and Jackson picks it off at the 47, returns it to the 35, brought down across the Alleman 30-yard line to the 29. Alleman has now turned it over twice in two possessions in the second half, and let's see if the Streaks can take advantage of this.
That was a heck of a well-played ball by Jackson that time, because it was a well-thrown pass from Boland. From where I was standing at the angle, I thought they were going to complete the pass.
Except he threw it into double coverage.
And he had a big man down there, and I'm thinking, well, you know, he's going to out-jump us. But Jackson just had a line on that thing, and just before it got to the Alleman player, he jumps up and snares it and gets a nice little return.
So the Streaks started the last drive at the Alleman 35, this one from the Pioneer 29 in the shotgun. Steck hands off right. Jackson gets stopped initially, then cuts back to the middle of the offensive line across the 30 to the 29. So he does get back to the line of scrimmage, and we have a Streaks player down at about the 26. And I'm trying to see the number. I think it's Kevin Hurd.
I believe you're right.
He's on his back, and he's got his hands up to his helmet. And he's not making any attempt to get up as Denise Polworth runs out to check on him.
Well, we could ill afford to lose another lineman down there. Already Austin Finley out of this game. Big physical player on both sides of the line for Galesburg. Unable with a knee injury, I believe, to play for a couple of weeks.
Almost wonder if he got the wind knocked out of him. I hope that's all it is.
Yeah, because he's not holding his knee or anything like that, so... One of his teammates went by and patted him on the leg as if he didn't seem overly concerned.
Should mention that the name in our Hungry Hobo touchdown contest tonight for the third quarter is Diana McCants of Galesburg. Bess Heck of Galesburg in the first quarter. Jacqueline Holmes of Galesburg in the second quarter. Both came up empty as the Streaks had a hard time even converting first downs throughout much of the first half, let alone scoring, as now Hurd is up and running off the field under his own power. And the way he's running, he looks to be all right. So let's hope that's a good sign.
Yep, I think you called it. Lost his breath. Got that back, and he'll be back in there probably in a couple of plays.
So Diana McCants of Galesburg. Streaks have the ball for you at the Alleman 29-yard line after the Pioneers have turned it over twice in two possessions in this third quarter. But we're already under 5 minutes to play. Alleman with a 14-0 lead, and the Streaks facing 2nd and 10 upcoming here. With the clock now underway again after the stoppage of play for the injury. Pioneers have not given up a point in the third quarter through the first four games this season. And they haven't given up a point tonight to the Silver Streaks, leading 14-0, and now we have whistles again from the sideline as the Streaks call timeout. So we'll take a timeout here as well with an extended stoppage of play. 4:28 to play third quarter. Pioneers leading 14-0. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Greg Reshire. Proud to bring you GHS Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
$1.2 million is coming the way of the city of Galesburg for help for businesses. Download a press conference on the matter by clicking on local news at WGIL.com.
4:28 to play third quarter. Silver Streaks trailing Rock Island Alleman Pioneers 14-0. Game two of the Western Big Six conference season. Both teams coming in at 1-0 in conference play. The Pioneers are undefeated on the season, ranked 8th in the state, and they've looked every part of it here tonight as a defensive powerhouse. But the Streaks have the ball at the Pioneer 29-yard line on 2nd and 10. Coming out of the timeout, the handoff to Andy Holloway for the first time tonight. Covers up the ball well, gets down low, gains 4 on 2nd down. And a little extracurricular activity across the far side of the field.
Ryan Ricketts just kept with his block and just destroyed Justin Quintana.
He just kept on going, and that didn't sit well with the Pioneer faithful.
No, because Quintana's given away 120 pounds in that deal, and he felt it.
Especially when Ryan landed on top of him at the end of the play.
Yeah. Kevin Hurd is back in, by the way.
From the Pioneer 26, 3rd and 7 for the Silver Streaks. Steck drops back, looking on the right side of the field, downfield, and it's batted away with McGinnis on the coverage on Nathan Mines, and all he did was just knock the pass away. It was thrown behind Mines a little bit, so that would have been a tough catch to make, but he was in first down territory, and Steck passing now 1 of 7 on the night.
Yeah, and maybe not the best decision, but it's easy to say after the play, because if he goes to the second tier, Drew Carlson looked to be open. But he went a little shorter to Mines, who was in front of his man, but pretty good coverage by Alleman that time. Close to being a flag, but not quite interference. And I think Drew Carlson was a little frustrated that maybe he didn't get the ball in his hands when he was probably the most open man on the play.
On fourth down again for the Silver Streaks in the shotgun, Chaz Benton in motion. There's three wideouts to the far side of the field. Steck looking that direction, gets the pass away to Benton, and he's hit right as the pass comes in, and somehow he hangs on to the ball just a yard past the first down marker, and the Streaks move the chains.
You won't see many better catches than that in that situation.
I guess.
Because not only was it critical just beyond the sticks to get the first down for Chaz Benton, but he could see the white jersey out of the corner of his eye, had a dead line on him, Ryan Sheely coming over there, and he knew he was going to take a shot, and yet he didn't miss the ball. He kept his eye on it, took it, and took the hit, and held on to it as he went down. Great job by Chaz Benton.
Only the second completion of the night for the Silver Streaks, and the first time this season they have converted on fourth down. So with new life on first down, handoff up the middle, and not a whole lot there for Robert Jackson. He might have gotten to the 15-yard line, and that would still be a pretty good gain of four if he did get to there.
This
is as deep as the Streaks have been in Alleman territory tonight.
Yeah, the last yard probably compliments of Matt Taylor, big number 75, had his left arm on Jackson, was giving him a little escort down there to the 15 in that pile.
Streaks tonight, 1-for-4 on fourth down. But how big might that one be if the Streaks can continue to take it the final 15 yards here? Second and 7 from the 15. Two wideouts to the near side. Two wideouts to the far side. The single setback is Jackson. Steck hands off to him. A little bit of running room to the right side. He's close to the first down. Still on his feet. Going for the corner.
Fumble on the field, and the Streaks will recover at the 3.
Amazing. And that'll be a first down.
It will be. What a break and a heads-up play by Tyler Brackett, who comes up with the ball. It fumbled forward nearly 10 yards on that wet grass, and the Streaks with a first and goal now on the heads-up recovery by Tyler Brackett.
So because Brackett regains the fumble recovery, the Streaks have a first and goal at the 4. And Brackett, remember, Jim, you were talking just a moment ago about Austin Finley being out with a knee injury this week. Brackett is the guy who got the start in place of him. And he may end up making the biggest play of the night for the Silver Streaks if they can go the final 4 yards here. Three setbacks. Hand off to the right. Jackson feeling his way, trying to get to the goal line. And he appears to be down just short of the yellow line. It'll be second and goal.
Yeah, he got it to the 1. He tried to reach over. Didn't quite get there, but a good effort by Jackson. And what our running backs have learned is this Ottoman team, they just clog up everything. And you can't get your footing. There's just people all over the ground. They may not be tackling you, but they're impeding your process, and you just got to try and step on them or climb over them or something.
Second and goal from the 1, and the keeper, Steck, forward, touchdown! Two turnovers in the second half for the Pioneers, and this one produces results for the Silver Streaks. Diana McCants of Galesburg, congratulations. You're a winner in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, and the Streaks working their way back into this game now, down 14-6. Drew Carlson in for the important extra point. A rush by the Pioneers. The kick is away and good. The Streaks have cut the deficit in half. A minute 28 to go, third quarter. It's 14-7 now. Alleman with the lead. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com. New life for the Silver Streaks at Van Dyke Field. A 29-yard scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. And even despite a short field, they still manage, or they're still forced to take 3 minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. What big plays we'll look back to on that drive, Jim Lee. The 7-yard pass completion and the heck of a catch by Chaz Benton on fourth down to move the chains. The fumble by Robert Jackson, which Tyler Brackett recovers, advancing 10 yards down to the 3. And maybe the breaks will be enough to get the Silver Streaks going here, down 14-7. A line drive catch at the 22-yard line as the Pioneers' Kevin McGinnis went down with a knee as soon as he caught the ball, so no return.
Well, initially, the official didn't blow his whistle.
Not right away,
that.
He didn't, no.
But Tom Hawkins, assistant coach, was going to go out on the field and make sure that got blown. He saw him put his knee down. Tom quickly was pointing to that ground. Then the official realized what had happened and blew that whistle. So nice kick by Carlson. Good break for the Streaks, and let's see if they can't take advantage here again with new life for Galesburg.
Minute 26 to go in the third quarter. Handoff up the middle. Mendoza, and the Streaks defense does appear to be playing with extra life here. They forced a fumble on the first possession on the second play of the second half. The next possession, an interception. They get the touchdown on the ensuing drive after that, and a gain of two on first down for Mendoza from the Alamon 25 now. 15th carry of the night for Max Mendoza for 57 yards. His longest run of the night is only 57. So it hasn't been easy going for him either. Hand off to the right side again. Mendoza gets down low. Just gets through the hands of Drew Carlson. Then Kevin Hurd finishes him off. Gain of three more. Third and five very quickly now coming up for the Pioneers with 40 seconds to play in the third quarter. And Alamon, after converting two of three first downs in the first quarter, actually their first two third down conversions, they are only one of five since then. And another big one coming up here.
Game clearly turning around, especially if they don't pick up a first down right here.
In their own territory, at the 27, on third and five. Fake handoff to the right side. The quarterback, Boland, on the option keeper, now pitches it away, and it's fumbled. Ball on the ground at the 30-yard line, and a scramble for it. The officials blow the play dead.
I think the Pioneers got it back.
Looks
but they're
like
going to be short of first down yardage. That dew on the grass is getting heavier, and it's coming into play right now, especially for Alamon.
So they gain a yard on the play, and that's the end of the third quarter. And the Streaks appear to have forced a punt to begin the fourth quarter, down 14-7, with a final quarter coming up from Van Dyke Field. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you sure it's okay to bring this grill up to the stand?
Relax. Have another shish kebab.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Well, you scoot over. I can't reach the fondue.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Three quarters gone at Van Dyke Field. The Alamon Pioneers lead the Silver Streaks 14-7. And Jim Lee threw the first 31 minutes of this game. It looked like this was going to be a long night for the Silver Streaks. But Alamon in punt formation to begin the fourth quarter as the momentum has really turned around here. Good kick by Ewald. Trayvon Diggins with a fair catch, and the Streaks will have it at the 37, their own 37-yard line as we start this fourth quarter underway.
Very
will it be enough?
Disciplined catch by Diggins that time, because you know he would have loved to have grabbed that thing and tried to make something happen, but realizing the importance of the situation, he gave the fair catch, made it at the 38, and Galesburg now with new life and the football back.
A huge fourth down conversion for the Silver Streaks at the Alamon 26-yard line after the second turnover of the third quarter by the Pioneers. And very nearly another turnover on their third offensive possession of the second half. But it does force a punt. Alamon scrambles to get into defensive position. Handoff goes up the middle. And a nice job running the play by Robert Jackson as he looked to be stopped close to the line of scrimmage. But he got down low, worked his way through a hole, and came up just a yard short of the first down. Big gain of nine on first down. And this team is as fired up as I think we've seen them all season.
Yeah, I think you've got to be able to hear it. I'm down here right behind the team, and you can hear him saying the fourth quarter is ours, and then Jackson blew up the middle that time, and everybody on the sideline is into the game as well as those players out on the field. So Stephen Harger barking it out to my right here, and the Streaks have plenty of life.
The Pioneers have run only 8 offensive plays in the second half. Their defense has been on the field a long time. Second and 1. Steck drops back. Now on the keeper. Across midfield. He's got the first down to the Alleman 48. Quick drop back and then quickly tucked in the ball. And Steck sprinted upfield and he got the first down inside the Alleman 49. Move the chains. New set of downs. Streaks down by a touchdown. Under 11 minutes to play in the game. Deck, only 32 yards rushing on the night. Nobody's going to come away with a lot of big yards on the ground tonight as these two teams rely on their defense. Pioneers looking to get their defense back on track. Streaks on first and 10. Steck on the keeper after the fake to Robert Jackson, and there's the defense that we saw from the Pioneers in the first half as Steck is taken down for a loss back to the 50.
Matt Carruthers again, defensive end, playing a big game tonight for the Pioneers. Got a hold of Steck's jersey, would not let Andrew go anywhere, and he loses 2 or 3 yards.
Ball just on the Galesburg side of the field, short of the 50-yard line. As we approach the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter, Streaks trailing 14-7. They have forced 2 turnovers by the Pioneers. No first downs in the second half for Alleman. Streaks have 1 score. They need another to tie. Wide outs to each side. Steck rolling left. Now tucks it in. Tries to find a hole across left tackle, gains a couple, took a pretty big hit at the end of the play, and now it'll be 3rd and 8 as after he gains 4.
Yeah, when you come to the short side of the field like we did there, especially running that option, there's not a big window for opportunity, but like we said, it seems like when we've gone to the strong side of the field, that's where we've had more problems the last 2 years because they just string you out so far. So we try the short side. Steck did the right thing. A pitch wouldn't have worked there. Just turn it in. Picked up 4. Now we got 3rd and 8.
3rd and a long 8. The Alleman sideline and crowd comes to life trying to prod the defense forward. Steck in the shotgun. Back to pass on a short drop. Then he tucks it in and he's blasted. Back inside Galesburg territory and still on his feet before 2 Alleman players finally force him all the way back to the 40 when the ball pops free, but the officials had blown the play dead. Forward progress. Well, if there was forward progress, the officials are standing at the Alleman 47 as Steck lost 5 on the play, and the Pioneer crowd comes to its feet.
Yeah, I can hear them clear over here. That's the loudest they've been all night. Streaks will have to punt now with 8:42 and counting here in this fourth quarter. Unlike last week when we saw penalty flags all over the place, it's been a pretty cleanly played game.
Only 2 penalties of the night, both against the Silver Streaks for only 10 yards total. Steck gets the punt. A low, somewhat line drive fielded by Sheely inside the 20. Rolling to the near side to the 30. Up the Alleman sideline, past a jersey tackle, short of the 40-yard line is where he's finally knocked out of bounds. So decent field position for the Pioneers. And the offense desperately wants to hang on to the ball here for a while to give its defense a rest. No first downs in the second half for the Pioneers, but they still have a 7-point lead with 8:19 to play in the game. And this is where we talk so much about how difficult it is to beat this team when you are behind, and the Streaks defense has to come up huge here.
Yeah, and I think job number 1 for the Pioneers, and I'm sure Coach DeJager telling them, hang on to the ball. They've had a couple of uncharacteristic fumbles and an interception in this half, and with that grass being a little slick out there, job 1 is just to take care of it for them.
Bolin under center, barking out the numbers. Now hands off to the near side, and a big hit just across the 40-yard line. As Chaz Benton is the one who made the hard stop on Justin Quintana after the handoff. Chaz gave him a pretty good lick, but Quintana still gains 5 on first down. So Alleman needed that one. But still 5 yards to go with the ball at the 44-yard line. Second down upcoming. Quintana's first carry of the second half. He had the long touchdown run in the first quarter that got the Pioneers going. Now handoff up the middle again. The offensive line with a bit of a surge, but they'll be short of the first down marker by about 2 yards. It'll be 3rd and 2 upcoming as Mendoza's the last one off the pile.
Stephen Harger with the tackle again for the Silver Streaks. Again, getting more playing time in there on the defensive line tonight. Doing a pretty good job holding down the middle.
Holloman advances to its own 47-yard line. Third and two upcoming for the Pioneers. 7:40 to go in the fourth quarter. Streaks trailing 14-7. Can the Galesburg defense rise to the occasion again? One wide out to the far side of the field. Tight ends in tight for the Pioneers. Bolin drops back, hands off across the left side of the line. Looks like he got enough for the first down. Has a nice job sprinting forward by Mendoza to the 50-yard line, and that moves the chains.
And we've been accustomed to hard runs by Mendoza. That was one because Tremaine Carson had a hat on him just shy of the first down, but he easily brushed off of Tremaine that time and picked up the couple of yards he needed as Harger comes out and Ricketts goes back in on the defensive line for Galesburg.
That's the first time the Pioneers have converted on third down since early in the second quarter. But it's enough to keep the clock rolling in the Pioneers' favor, leading by seven with 7 minutes to go in the game. Fake handoff, Bolin sacked. D. Dortch, penetration across the line of scrimmage. And when Bolin faked the handoff and kept it, D was right on top of him for a loss of two. He's been sacked three times tonight for a loss of seven and also fumbled the ball once. So second and 12 upcoming. Ball spotted back in Pioneers territory, short of the 48-yard line. 6.5 minutes to go in the game. Streaks trailing 14-7. Alleman with the ball just short of midfield. Streaks crowding up to the line of scrimmage. Right side handoff stopped at the initial line of scrimmage. A late push forward to the 50-yard line by Mendoza for a gain of a couple more. He's back to the original line of scrimmage. Third and 10 upcoming. Ball spotted just across midfield in Galesburg territory.
Well, a big, big play here on the third and long. Streaks don't want to let Alleman get out of this because the clock becoming a factor at 6 minutes now. Number one, you want it back. Number two, you don't want to see Alleman drive it clear down to your 20 or something. And even if you do get it back, you got to go 80 yards in a minute. You don't want that.
Ryan Sheely is their best receiver. He splits out wide to the right side in single man-to-man coverage. Handoff, no. Bolin on the keeper, rolling right, looking Sheely's direction, lofts it far downfield, and it's off his hands, short of the 20-yard line. His momentum was taking him out of bounds. It was actually Quintana on the far side of the field. Well-thrown ball, but just a little too much on the sideline. Quintana didn't bring it in anyway, and the Streaks defense holds as the punt formation heads out.
Yeah, Silver Streaks defense, a nice job. They knew the pass was coming. They flowed real well to the ball. A lot of black jerseys out there in the neighborhood of that throw. Not much that Bolin could do there. That pass actually a little bit out of bounds, pretty tough for anybody to catch.
Bolin 4-for-4 passing in the first half, 0-for-2 in the second half, including an interception. So now Alleman looking to pin Galesburg deep with Ewald standing at his own 38-yard line. Clock stop 5:42 to play in the game. Robert Jackson standing back at his own 15. Not much of a rush and a big kick by Ewald. Jackson backs up at the 10, running to the near side of the Alleman sideline. Hit once and rolled down from the behind at the 21-yard line. So the Streaks will have to take it 79 yards to tie this game with 5:32 to play in the fourth quarter.
Now, win or lose, this second half has said a lot about this Streaks team because they could have laid down tonight after the first half where they really got dominated, but they came out and they've had the better of it here in the second half. The only score of the half, and they've been playing with a lot of pride, a lot of togetherness out here. Whether they win it or not, we'll see with the ball. Long way to go, 5.5 minutes, but at least they've given themselves a shot by playing so well here in the second half.
Streaks had given up two touchdowns in a game only once this season. They lost that one to Morton 13-12. They looked shell-shocked in the first quarter when they gave up two touchdowns then, and a bad snap in the shotgun formation, and I think Steck somehow managed to fall down on it to at least maintain possession, but the Streaks are going to lose six on first down, and it looked like Steck was trying to back up and pick up the ball at the same time. And as you mentioned earlier, Jim, with the dew on the field, it looked like he just had a hard time picking it back up. And with his momentum backing away, it was everything he could do just to get his footing and fall on it.
Yep, it's team game. Got to get a good snap. And yeah, when you're backing up, you see the ball and you're trying to reach out there and implore it to come to you, but you got to change your momentum. And Steck fortunately had a second to finally be able to lunge forward and drag that thing back into him.
Second and 16 from the Galesburg 15. Pass to the far side, Jared Carl. It's caught, but he's short of the 20-yard line and two open field tackles And the Streaks will have third and long coming up from their own 19-yard line.
Really like the play call, not the execution. Good pass, good catch, but you've got to, you're trying to set a pick out there, and Kevin Hurd just missed it. It looked to me like he was supposed to pick off Kevin McGinnis and let Carl go ahead and peel around him, but Kevin just completely whiffed on the block that time. That was too bad.
So they gained four on the play, but it's third and 15 upcoming from the Galesburg 19-yard line. Streaks 1-for-4 on third downs in the second half. Single setback is Jackson. Back to pass, Steck looks down the near side of the field, and he overthrows everybody. And he barely overthrew Quintana down the near side of the field for the Pioneers. Chaz Benton was the intended receiver, and even as quick as Chaz is, he couldn't catch up with that one. It falls incomplete. And fortunate not that it was not picked off, although Quintana would have had to have made an unbelievable catch to even have done that. So on 4th and 11, the Streaks cannot move the chains, and they'll have to punt it away with 4:01 to play in the fourth quarter. And about the only thing they can really hope for now is another turnover by the Pioneers, because this is the kind of time when the Pioneers really will lock up a game, although the Streaks still do have a timeout to use to try to stop the clock if they need to. Alleman lets the ball roll. McGinnis steps away from it, and the Streaks down it at the Pioneer 41. 3:52 to play in the game.
No, part of you thinks, well, maybe we should run a fourth down play there on the chance that we might never get the ball back again, but you're deep enough in your own territory.
Yeah.
If you don't make that, you've pretty well sealed your fate. This way, at least you've got the ball out of there, and like you say, if you can force an Alleman turnover, or if you can get a three and out, you'll have a little time left, but you've got to come up with some big defensive plays one way or another right now to have a chance.
Well, again, the Streaks defense has given up only one first down the entire second half. So you turn it over to them and say, you've got to do it again here. With 3:52 to play, and the Streaks have a couple of timeouts to use to stop the clock if they need to. Hand off to the right side. A little bit of running room for Mendoza on first down. Looks like he advances it close to the 45-yard line for a gain of four.
Well, he got punished out there by the Streaks
linebackers. Oh, and he's holding his midsection. Yep, he's waving to the sideline saying, I got to come out.
I think it was Spinks.
He's holding his hand, actually.
Spinks had the big hit, but Carlson and Carson both were over there. All the linebackers pounded him.
Well, and he got pounded enough that he's got to come out, and hopefully he's all right in the long term. But he's now seated, and they're looking at his right hand. Here's Mendoza's carries this half, Jim. Woody Hayes would be proud. Let's call this play here on 2nd and 7, and then we'll tell you. Hand off to the left side, and they go right to Ryan O'Keefe, who replaced Mendoza in the game, and he gets a first down across midfield to the Galesburg 47-yard line. I'm sorry, they went to Quintana. Max Mendoza's carries this half. He's carried it 9 times. 3 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 3, 3, 3, 3, and 3. 3 yards and a cloud of dust, right?
Yeah, well, not much dust out here tonight. But
not at all.
But that says a lot for the Streaks defense, because he's a good runner running behind a solid line, and they have really shut down Ottawa in the second half, except the Pioneers pick up a first down right there.
Yeah,
that hurts.
Quintana's the speed back, and he gained 9 there. First down inside Galesburg territory. They give to Quintana again, who gets to the outside. And finally, the Streaks wrap him up from behind close to the 40-yard line. He's a few yards short of the first down, but Quintana has running with purpose here on this possession.
Yeah, and he comes around there. Thank goodness for Andy Holloway, because he's got a lot of speed coming out of the defensive secondary, and he used that angle and went over there and kept Quintana from getting to the first down marker. Picked up about 7, but a heck of a job by Holloway to wrap him up and throw him out of bounds.
And now we've got a timeout on the field with 2:19 to play in the game. Streaks have 1 timeout remaining. And the Pioneers will have 2nd and 4 upcoming from the Galesburg 41-yard line. Sophomores lost tonight, their first defeat of the season. There was a 26-8 final. As we mentioned, Alleman scored on their first 2 possessions of the game. They were up 14-0 in a heartbeat in the first quarter. And the Streaks defense has shut them down. But now the defense needs an enormous stop to give the offense one last chance. And Alleman with a couple more downs to run if they need to, with only 2:23 remaining in the game. So The odds are not with the streaks here, but Alleman has turned it over twice in this second half, and that's what the Galesburg defense will try to generate here again to get another shot, trailing by 14-7. Alleman takes its time coming out of the timeout. On second and four from the Galesburg 41, Boland. Hands off, Quintana running to the near side this time, trying to get to the outside, runs into Chaz Benton, who gets down low, and
nice
he stops
tackle.
Him short of the first down marker.
Boy, his teammates over here love that tackle. Chaz, textbook, stuck his helmet in there and just got both legs and drove his helmet right in to slow the momentum of the runner and to keep him from quite getting to the marker now.
And Quintana kept the legs pumping, but Chaz kept his legs planted in the ground as much as he can on this wet turf as the dew continues to accumulate, and it'll be third and a long one or a short two. I would call it, well, it's a short two to get to the first down marker. It's 2 yards definitely needed and maybe a little bit more to get past the first down marker on this third down play as the Streaks have used their final timeout to stop the clock at 2:11 to go.
So this is game here if they make it.
Yep.
This reminds me so much of the game played here a couple of years ago that Galesburg won. Andrew Steck had a couple of long runs. We got a couple of quick scores. And then Alleman fought its way back the rest of the game. If there had been much more time, we might not have beat them. And it's been kind of the reverse here tonight. Alleman scores too quick. Galesburg has been the better team, I think, really the last 2.5 quarters, but may not have enough.
That one ended with a Streaks 21-14 victory. Here Alleman has it, 14-7, handoff right side. Quintana is stopped, short of the first down marker at the 40-yard line. The Streaks read it perfectly, and they forced a punt here, and the clock rolls under 2 minutes to play. Or have they forced a punt? Will Alleman go ahead and run a fourth down play? I guess I would think that they would want to punt it and send Galesburg as deep as they can, knowing that this defense is not giving up anything big to them all night long. They want to kind of talk this over. Coach Dave DeJager has his quarterback Boland on the sideline watching the clock roll down. They're going to take as much time off the clock here as they possibly can. He's standing next to the sideline official, and he's ready to call the timeout, taking up as much time as he possibly can, and there it is. So the clock stops with 87 seconds to play in the fourth quarter, and the ball spotted at the Gales, just inside the Galesburg 40-yard line on fourth and two.
Heck of a job of penetration by the Streaks on that third down and short yardage. And I've still got to think Alleman will kick this.
Yep.
Because even if they kick it in the end zone, they still pick up 20 yards. It would bring out to the 20. And their hope, I'm sure, is to be able to knock the thing back inside the 15 or 10 somewhere.
And again, as I look down my stat sheet, the longest offensive play I see for the Streaks tonight is 13 yards.
Hmm.
And Andrew Steck run way back in the, must have been the first quarter. Andrew has picked up 13. They've had only two plays this entire game that have gone for a double-digit gain, 13 yards and 10 yards.
Robert Jackson's kickoff return was by far the biggest gainer.
Yep. And even then, the Streaks didn't score on that possession. They had it at the Alleman 21, and they did not score. That's how good the Alleman defense has been tonight. And now another timeout called by Dave DeJager as the Pioneers are in punt formation. They get out there, and then he calls everybody over to talk it over again. So now they have one timeout remaining.
Well, it wouldn't be beyond the realm for them to run a fake punt, snap it to the short man, and just run it into the line either if they had a feeling it would have a good margin for success. Because they really, I don't think they're too anxious to let Robert Jackson get his hands on it.
Certainly not.
They know he's a game breaker.
Well, and you almost wonder if that's the case, they just go for a sideline punt, kick it away from him,
sure,
get the ball to bounce out of bounds so that he can't return it and pin the Streaks deep.
I would certainly think that would be the avenue that Coach DeJager would look for because they've seen what Jackson can do.
But you bring up an interesting point, Jim. If they do want to fake on fourth down, their defense has been good enough that if they don't make it,
yes,
then Galesburg still has the ball at their 40-yard line, and that's not...
They're going for it.
They sure are. Now they're not even going to fake it. They're just going to line up in fourth down
unless they
formation.
Try and dry us off. Don't jump off sides.
Absolutely. And that's what the Streaks are saying on the sideline now. And now we've got all kinds of movement going on have a couple of players in motion for the Pioneers. Now they're going to wave off the flag as the officials get together. And Coach Dave DeJager is 5 yards out onto the field saying, what are you doing? Referee is saying, calm down, coach, calm down. The Alleman crowd doesn't like it because now they have to send out the punt formation. So instead of lining up for fourth down, and I think you're exactly right, Jim, I think they had every intention of trying to draw the streaks off sides and get the first down by penalty.
Yeah, no question, or they wouldn't have sent the punt team back out again now.
So now they do send the punt team out. Jackson back at his own 10-yard line. A low snap to Ewald. He slips, picks it up, and now he's taken down at the 49-yard line, and the streaks are going to have the ball just short of midfield. After all that, Alleman, the worst possible thing that could have happened to them, short of turning the ball over altogether, and the streaks get a huge break. A minute 23 to go. They have it at their own 49-yard line. So the streaks erupted on the sideline. Now they scramble to get into offensive position. Two wideouts to each side. Steck in a shortened shotgun. Good snap. Drops back. Sideline pattern to Robert Jackson at the 40. Completed. Taken down at the 35-yard line. He stays in bounds. The clock rolls with a minute 13 to play.
Well, you know, every team works on this in practice. You're hoping to get into these positions late in the game, and you want to have a special package of plays to use, and that certainly was one right there. Just get some yardage, try and get out of bounds.
A gain of 16. The clock stops to move the chains. Now we're underway again with 65 seconds to play. Back to pass. Steck far side of the field. Jared Carl with the completion. Stopped at the first down marker at the 25-yard line. And the officials stop the clock. They want to measure this.
Good break for the streaks to get that clock stopped. Get a chance to regroup, catch their breath, and get up to the line here.
No, they're just going to move the chains. They don't even measure it. Andrew Steck was 3 for 10 passing tonight. He's 2 for his last 2. A new set of downs at the 25 with 49 seconds to play. In the shotgun to the near side of the field. And it's picked off. Picked off by Quintana at the 50 to the 40. Only Steck to beat. 10-yard line. Touchdown. No flags. Game over.
What a finish.
Carlos Quintana is mobbed in the Alleman sideline in the Galesburg end zone. Steck underthrew the pass just a little bit. Quintana read it perfectly and in stride made the catch, and there was no way anybody had a chance to catch him.
So fast, and that pass, there was just a lot of distance between where Andrew let it go and his intended target, and it just hung out there a little while, and Quintana so quick and so fast and takes it all the way back. That's too bad. Streaks gave it all they had and came so close to tying this thing up, but Alleman with the answer, and now the extra point coming to finish it off.
With 35 seconds to go in the game, high snap, they get it down, Ewald puts it between the uprights, and it's now 21-7. What a crushing way for the streaks to end this one. Two turnovers by Alleman in the second half. The defense for Galesburg clearly dominated in this second half. Gave the offense every opportunity, but Alleman's defense was just good enough to hold them off.
Well, when you've got somebody in the secondary that is a heady player that's quick, and it is the same thing what Robert Jackson had done to them earlier in the half. He just kind of lays back in the weeds, and all of a sudden, boom, there he is and picks it off. And that's exactly what Quintana did to us on that play. And then, of course, that's a defender's dream when you've got nothing but green between you and the goal line. And makes the winner of the Pioneers after Galesburg gave it everything they had here in the second half.
First interception of the season thrown by Andrew Steck. And Quintana returns it 85 yards to seal the victory for the Pioneers, who escape in 35 seconds anyway, There's no way they're going to kick this one deep. And there's the onside kick, more or less. Mines scoops it up at the 34-yard line, and then he's hit pretty hard at the 37. So that officially takes the Streaks out of really any chance of pulling off a miracle here. They virtually had to return that one. Alleman, there was no way the Pioneers were going to give them a chance to return it. And then the Streaks would have had to have recovered an onside kick. That's just about the only way that the Streaks were going to pull this one off after that long interception return. So they take over with 31 seconds to go in the game at their own 36-yard line.
Yeah, we're going to drop it, but this was a real good high school football
game. Boy, it was, wasn't it? In the shotgun, Steck looks far side of the field. He lofts it downfield. Jared Carl is the intended receiver. It's deflected and falls incomplete in Alleman territory at the 30. Second and 10 upcoming. And now whistles as there's flags down in the Streaks offensive backfield. Let's see what this is going to be.
You know, as we look ahead to next week, you're going up to Rock Island to play the conference favorites, second-ranked team in Class 6A. But you're not going to see a defense.
Personal foul on Alleman. Personal foul on Galesburg, offsetting penalties.
Rock Island is going to possess an offense that's going to be a bigger challenge to us than Alleman's. But defensively, we probably won't see a better team all year than what we saw out here tonight. And so that's the good news. But finding a way to outscore the Rocks next week will be a challenge unto itself.
Yeah, you go from playing the eighth-ranked team in the state in this class to the second-ranked team in the state next week. Why do they have the ball? Or why do they have... Wait a minute. Okay, there we go. They had the ball spotted back at the 31. The chains were at the 36. And now the officials get it straightened out. That's where it should be. Second and 10 after the incompletion and the offsetting penalties, which discount each other. So personal foul penalties on both sides. So no damage done in terms of moving the football. Steck in the shotgun with 25 seconds to play. Short drop across the middle of the field, off the hands of Chaz Benton, falls incomplete. A couple of Alleman players had a shot at it after the deflection, but couldn't recover quickly enough on the deflection to go after it. Third down upcoming.
Well thrown ball.
Yep.
Kind of a slick ball, though, and Benton just couldn't haul it in. The ball was thrown hard.
Only 4 seconds go off the clock, so 21 seconds to play. Steck again in the short drop. Hands off now this time. Up the middle. Lots of running room for Robert Jackson. Now he's into the secondary. Almost broke it free as he's finally taken down at the 40-yard line. That's enough for the first down. So it stops the clock with 15 seconds to go. But as soon as they move the chains and get everybody settled, then we'll get things rolling again. Probably a touchdown-saving tackle by Kevin Weatherill, though. Just out of the Alleman 39.
We've got a score update. Brad Abingdon has beaten South Fulton 38-20, so the Commandos get their second win.
Good for them. In the shotgun, Steck looking downfield, has Carl into double coverage, and it falls incomplete, and we've got an offensive pass interference play on Carl as the game ends. Coach Dave DeJager is not ready to head across the field to shake hands yet. The players seem to be ready to line up to shake hands. Coach Dave DeJager wants an explanation from the official on the penalty at the end of the game. Are we going to end it that way, or surely we're not going to run another play? Yep, he gets his clarification. Now everybody's lining up. So that is how the game officially ends. 21-7 in favor of the Alleman Pioneers, who improved to 5-0 on the season and 2-0 in the Western Big Six Conference. The Streaks are 1-1 in the Big Six and 3-2 overall. Stay tuned for the post-game show coming up. We'll talk with Streaks head coach Wes Olson, give you all the final statistics for the game as well. 21-7, Alleman wins it. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land.
The mecca of sports equipment apparel.
Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breed Love's for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breed Love's Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Gregory Shire. Proud to bring you GHS Football on WGIL.
Red 22.
It's Patsy Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room? Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL has been brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. By Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. For all your insurance needs. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan. Just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street. Building a better bond between you and your pet. Stay tuned for the Silver Streaks Football Postgame Show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast tonight is brought to you by financial advisor John Herman at Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Serving you in the same location for over 10 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg, member SIPC. Tonight, clear and low 48. Tomorrow, sunny in the morning, partly sunny with a chance of rain in the afternoon, high of 65. Saturday night, rain in the evening, becoming less likely after midnight, low 49. And then Sunday, looks like it's going to be cloudy with a high of 66. Right now, it's 64. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Galesburg High School Silver Streaks Football.
Still on his feet, and he takes it in for a 20-yard touchdown run. The 30, the 20, the 10, touchdown! Downfield, inside the 10, touchdown!
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks Football continues with the postgame show.
Back at Van Dyke Field where the Silver Streaks fall tonight 21-7, but what a terrific high school football game, and Jim Lee is now with Streaks head coach Wes Olson.
Okay, well, Coach, you didn't talk to the team for a long time after this one. Not a whole lot you could say. I'm sure you're proud of their effort coming out in that second half and making this thing an exciting game right down to the end.
Oh, yeah, played a lot better in the second half. Unfortunately, against good teams, you find yourself behind the eight ball in the first half, and, it's tough to battle out of that, especially against a team like this, against Allman. They're just a very fundamentally sound team. They did a nice job tonight, and they're certainly well-coached. And, our guys did come out. I'm so proud of the way they played in the second half and responded. Just wasn't quite enough.
Down the stretch there after the low snap on the punt, you get the ball, just what you could have hoped for. A couple of completions. You could tell you worked on some of those plays down the stretch, the completion to Jackson and then out here to Carl, and then just a little too much air under that one pass, and that was the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, our guys were going with the no-huddle stuff, and I think they responded well, and we do the two-minute drill all the time, and so they were ready for that. It's just unfortunate we couldn't execute a little bit better in the first half with some of that and get at least a score out of the first half. But you know, our boys played hard, and certainly we go back to the drawing board, and we have a tough schedule ahead of us, and, you know, nothing to do but to go back to work.
You always have to wonder when a team scores on its first two possessions like Alleman did tonight and then doesn't score again until that pick at the end. What did we do differently defensively to shut them down, or was it just the kids that had to take a couple of series to get the feel for the step up in the level of competition?
Well, you know, that could be. I mean, they're a deceptive team in what they do with the football, and also how physical they are. You know, I think they play a lot more physical than what they look on film, and you know, our guys, you know, maybe took a little bit longer there to get ready defensively, but our defense played well tonight, I think, against a really good offense, and certainly, you know, we didn't execute as well as what we'd like to have in the first half, and you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. You know, our boys played hard, and they'll bounce back, and they'll be fine.
Well, the one thing I've noticed about Alleman the last couple of years we've played them, against many teams, when you're an option team like we are, you like to use the wide side of the field. But Alleman seems to pursue so well, they really negate that, don't they?
Yeah, and they do some, you know, they like to slant to the tight end on that side of the field and things of that nature. And you know, they kind of make you choose where you want to go, and it isn't always where you'd like to go, but... they're just so sound. They really don't make a lot of mistakes. And certainly, you know, against our offense, you know, we would like to see a defense that every now and again missed an assignment. And they were really solid tonight.
With Austin Finley out tonight, saw Stephen Harger in there over center a little bit more. You probably couldn't have a much bigger defensive line than at times we had when you had both Ricketts and Harger in there, along with Spinks and Hurd.
Yeah, big old kids in there, no question about it. And it's nice to have a guy like Stephen, because you know we got guys who are. I think all conference like players sometimes on the offensive line who can't block him, and you know, that just shows that he's tough to move. And so it's good to have that, especially against a team like Alleman, who's just going to run it up in there. And you know, he does a nice job taking up some space. And our D line overall, I think, does a really nice job. You know, we just got to get back to work. We're going to see more of the same next week, and you know, we'll do what we do.
And as we said, next week against Rock Island, another formidable team, quite a bit different. Their defense probably not as solid as Alleman's is, but their offense presents a whole other problem itself, doesn't it?
Well, they certainly have some weapons, and you know, the Watson kid's a tough back to take down, and that's, you know, one of those things that you know, we're gonna have to work against and just be sound ourselves. You know, we just try to keep getting better. That's what we got to do. We can't afford to take a step back. And I'm sure our guys will come out Monday ready to go.
Okay, give our best to the kids. They gave us a great game, a great effort out here tonight. Just came up a little short.
Yep, thank you.
Streaks head coach Wes Olson joining us here on the postgame show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the final statistics. Give you our Dave's Auto Body crunch time player of the game as well. Alleman wins it tonight 21-7, but it came down almost to the very final play of the game in order to make it happen. They're 5-0 now. Streaks fall to 3-2 and 1-1 in the Western Big Six. More postgame coverage from Van Dyke Field coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You know what's a pain? The cost of propane. How much are you planning to spend this winter? Take a few minutes now to consider a hybrid heating system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This hybrid system constantly compares inside and outside air temperatures and switches between two energy sources to keep your home at the temperature you want automatically. To help take the pain out of the cost of propane. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
Pekin Insurance for all kinds of people, for all kinds of reasons. Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance agency, understands there's more to insurance than the policy. It's the people who matter most. Craddy Insurance strives to offer you the most comprehensive policies, whether it be for your home, auto, life, health, or business, at premiums that will fit your individual budget. Call your Pekin Insurance Agency, Craddy Insurance, for insurance that goes beyond the expected to make a difference for you.
You deal in a field with variations in soil type.
Gary Hager of CPS in Oneida.
There might be 3 to 4 different soil type changes going across the field, from lighter to darker, heavier organic to lighter organic matter in the soil, and each one of those things has a different trigger mechanism within it for the availability of uptake of chemicals and or the fertilizers into the plant themselves.
Seed, fertilizer, and chemicals specifically matched to the soil type of the land you farm. Crop advisors you can trust. This season,
choose Dynagro and CPS.
Every morning, millions of people skip breakfast. But thanks to McDonald's Dollar Menu at breakfast, they'll have to find something else to skip. Like waiting for the shower to warm up. Putting in their contacts.
Ow.
Or they could just wear that wet towel to work.
Good morning, everyone. Breezy today, huh?
There are options, people. But skipping McDonald's Dollar Menu at breakfast isn't one of them. So grab a sausage burrito, sausage McMuffin sandwich, premium roast coffee, and more for just a buck each. That's the simple joy of breakfast at McDonald's. At participating McDonald's.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
When you're looking for rawhide, look for the products made right here in the USA. They taste so much better than the ones made in faraway places. I recommend Grillers, tastiest rawhide straight out of Chicago, and Harvester's Mini Cookies, also made right here in Illinois. Throw them in my bowl. Sweet potato, vanilla, and chicken. They're my favorite.
Join them on Facebook, Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family, by Office Specialists, where your office is their business, and by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. You call, who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
$1.2 million is coming the way of the city of Galesburg for help for businesses. Download a press conference on the matter by clicking on local news at WGIL.com.
At Van Dyke Field, where the Streaks fall tonight by a final of 21-7, and unfortunately that final score will make it look a little more deceptive than this game really was. Let's give you our post-game statistics, first of all, brought to you by Thorne's Pets and Supplies, and not a lot of big numbers here tonight. We knew coming in this would be a defensive battle, and the numbers will certainly reflect that. For the Silver Streaks, only 64 yards rushing tonight on 35 carries, so that's less than 2 yards a carry. Andrew Steck had the most opportunities with 16 carries, but he was sacked 4 times tonight after being sacked only or taken down for a loss only 1 time in the first 4 games this season. So it just shows you what a difference in the type of team that Alleman is that the Streaks have been playing up to this point. So 16 carries for only 24 yards. Robert Jackson, the leading rusher, 13 carries for 43 yards. Trayvon Diggins carried it very early in the ball game and then never touched it the rest of the way after that. 3 carries for just 2 yards. Chaz Benton had a couple of carries for -8. So all those negative numbers in there and the very low numbers you see produced just 64 yards in yardage on the ground for the Silver Streaks tonight. The one touchdown was a 1 yard quarterback plunge by Andrew Steck. Steck passing tonight, we mentioned earlier, only 3 incompletions all season long in the first 4 games. But his first 3 passes tonight were incomplete. He finished 5 of 16. And the real difference maker, or the what ended up being the ultimate play of the game, was the 85-yard touchdown return on his first interception of the season. 42 yards passing tonight for Andrew Steck. 15 of those yards to Jared Carl on 2 receptions. 1 catch by Robert Jackson for 16 late in the game. Chaz Benton had a big 7-yard reception that was a 4th down conversion. The Streaks only won this season, but it helped set up their only score of the night. And Nathan Mines had a 4-yard catch. Just 2 penalties on the Silver Streaks tonight for 10 yards, unless you want to count the offensive pass interference that was the final play of the game that really had no effect on anything in this game tonight. For the Pioneers, 35 yards rushing or 35 carries tonight for 123 yards rushing. Max Mendoza, the workhorse, 20 carries for 72 yards. Justin Quintana carried the ball early and late. He had a 27-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. Didn't touch it much the rest of the way until Mendoza went out of the game with a hand injury late. And they went to Quintana, the speed back, and he picked up 56 yards rushing on 9 carries tonight. Kevin Weatherell ran it twice for 8 yards. Tim Bolin touched the ball 4 times in terms of carrying the ball, the quarterback. He was sacked 3 times and fumbled once for minus 7 on the game. 123 yards on the ground tonight for Rock Island Alleman. Bolin completed his first 4 passes of the night, all in the first half. Was 0-for-2 in the second half with an interception included in there. So 4-6-1 tonight for Bolin, passing 64 yards. 43 of them to Ryan Sheely on 2 catches, the other 21 to Kevin Weatherell, including a 3-yard touchdown reception, which was a 4th-down conversion for the Pioneers back in the first quarter that initially gave them a 14-0 lead. And no penalties on the Pioneers tonight. There was one personal foul penalty that was offset by a Galesburg personal foul penalty, so essentially no penalties for the Pioneers tonight, who win at 21-7. Our post-game statistics brought to you by Thorne's Pets and Supplies. And our post-game crunch time player of the game, as always, brought to you by Dave's Auto Body. And Jim, just before we get to that, this is about as enjoyable as a high school football game as I can remember in a long time. I mean, to have the big plays in this game, we talked about the Alleman 4th-down conversion that resulted in a touchdown. I mean, this game really had it all. Chaz Benton's amazing catch on 4th-down, the big punt return by Robert Jackson, the Streaks defense was just fabulous in the second half, forced an interception, forced a fumble recovery, forced a huge defensive stop on the Alleman final possession of the game that gave the Streaks one more chance offensively. The punt that didn't work out for the Pioneers that got the Galesburg at the 49-yard line gave the Streaks the ball. The two big pass plays, I mean, coming right down almost to the final second of the game. You just really couldn't ask for more in a game.
Yeah, if you're a Galesburg fan, you could just ask for not seeing Quintana head That's the other it. Way with that football, because yep. that was all that stood between us and maybe an incredible finish. And, you know, sometimes you try and project ahead, and I'm on the sidelines thinking, wow, if we score here, do we kick or do we go for two?
I was doing the same thing.
Because sometimes our kicks have been a little suspect in getting those off, and I'm not sure Coach Olson might not have elected to just go for two in the win. But we didn't have that dilemma to take on, unfortunately, as we never got it into the end zone. But, yeah, who thought at halftime it just looked like sheer dominance by Alleman. They seemed to be the better blocking and tackling team.
Beyond halftime, I mean, the first 7 minutes of the second half, just still nothing was happening. It wasn't until they got that interception. And even after the interception.
Didn't do anything.
No, the Streaks were facing 4th and 7.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they got it in, and then it just seemed like the kids picked it up. As we said, you could hear along the sidelines with the wireless microphone just how much life got breathed into this football team once they came out in the second half, got a turnover or two, got a score, and got back into this. So we're real proud of the kids. You know, it's coaches say there are no moral victories, but I think they come out of this one feeling like maybe they can go up and compete against Rock Island next week rather than just saying, wow, we just got overwhelmed by a good team. Maybe we're not that good. I think they felt like they were probably just a player or two away from maybe being able to win this one tonight. So heck of an effort. I'm proud of the kids.
And our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game comes on the Streaks scoring drive.
Yeah, it does. And kind of an odd way to have a Crunch Time Player of the Game. But the Streaks, when they were moving the football towards the goal line, Robert Jackson had it knocked out of his hands and it went forward. The ball was on the ground, and it could have been a turnover, a devastating one for the Silver Streaks, had it not been for Tyler Brackett. Tyler getting the start tonight on the offensive line, replacing Austin Finley, and Brackett doing a heck of a job, certainly on that play. He got over there and got all over that ball and wrapped it up with his body so nobody could touch it. That was down to the 3-yard line, and 2 plays later, we were in the end zone. So a touchdown-saving and hope-saving play by Tyler Brackett is our crunch time player of the game.
And our thanks to Dave's Auto Body for sponsoring that, as always, here on WGIL. So 21-7 the final. Alleman is 5-0 in the season. The Streaks dropped to 3-2 overall and 1-1 in the Western Big Six. The Sophomores fell tonight 26-8. They are now 3-1 in the season. We're back on the road next week at Rock Island for, boy, you thought this one was tough. Next one notched up another level for the second-ranked team in the state. We'll be on the air at 7:06 next Friday night. Jim, a pleasure as always. We'll see you then.
Very good.
And our thanks to you for being with us as well here on WGIL. Hope you can be with us again next week, regardless of where you may be, as we follow the Streaks up to Rock Island. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.